The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The show is PFW in progress.
My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show. None can come close. Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart. Sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the salt in the soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. The show is
W in Progress
and Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Wednesday, New Year's Eve.
No. We're big in Australia. And in Australia, it's already New Year's.
Never lets me finish.
Not even
say,
the open.
In this part of the world.
I'm sorry. I'm a lot of caffeine in my body right now.
In this part of the world, it's New Year's Eve at Gillette Stadium. And the Patriots are practicing as we speak. And we're on air with our final show of 2014. So enjoy it while you can, because the next time we talk to you, it will be the new year.
And that'll change what exactly?
Nothing, except
the number you put on the end of the check or whatever.
Something like stuff like that, you know. How long does it take you? Well, do you write any checks anymore?
Very rarely.
Yeah.
Very, very rarely.
I was gonna say, how long does it take you to, like, stop writing 2014?
It'll take even longer because I do it so infrequently.
Yeah. I don't write any checks anymore.
Yeah, I write
everything's online.
Yep,
everything's online. So
I bet you Paul still writes a lot of checks.
I don't pay any bills. They're all online. But there are things that you have to write a check for. You know.
If you tell me grocery store, I'm going to beat you up right now because I hate those people.
Oh, no.
Oh, those are the worst
people. No, but your kid's athletic.
I use a credit card. Are you going to get mad at me for that, too?
No, everybody uses a credit card. Oh. Are you going to compare those two things? Because a check takes about five times as long.
Well, not if you do it right.
Because
it should be all written out while you write in as the price.
And then the lady has to do, like, they put it through the machine or something, and it does something. And those people should be shot. If you use a check in the grocery store, you should be shot.
All right, we're not going to devolve that quickly.
508-298-0398
is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com.
Well, who uses cash?
Is the email address. Andy's been on radio already 4 hours because he was on EEI this morning.
The bigger issue is Andy got up at 3:40 and has had a lot of coffees and sodas.
Yeah, and he's been on several rants already. I don't know if he's done with his rants yet.
I don't even know where one starts or one
doubt
ends.
It.
Yeah.
My rants, you mean?
Yeah. Bill Belichick had his press conference this morning, and it was like a Friday press conference. It was a lot of you know, the history and evolution of film study in the NFL.
Okay.
And, you know, versatile coaches. Assistant coaches, things like that.
I didn't find much of that all that interesting. What I did find interesting, and I would like you to...
Well, he didn't, so no one else should.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah.
No,
go
I
away,
think there's a
boy.
Much bigger issue other than the evolution of video. I was a little confused, and when you read it, you don't really know how it was delivered. And when he said there's not a lot of Jamie Collinses, we're lucky to have one, it's like Lawrence Taylor. Was he the next... How exactly was he tying Collins to Taylor?
No, I understand what they were saying, because it started with... You know, because of the new trend in defenses, trying to, you know, defend spread formations
right.
and all this, is Jamie Collins, is he now like the prototypical guy you're looking for those types of defenses?
So and he wasn't really...
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
Okay, just making sure. Because I think Collins, I now believe that Collins could go next year where I think people thought he was going to go this year.
Right.
He had a good year. I think he could be on the verge of greatness.
Right.
But to have his name in the transcript on the same line as Lawrence Taylor is like, whoa.
Yeah. And I think what Bill was trying to say is, okay, so if he was the prototypical guy, then they're not that easy to find.
Right. You know? And you don't know he's the prototype until he becomes the prototype.
You know, like, okay, people said Lawrence Taylor was a prototypical outside linebacker in a 3-4, but you just, you can't find Lawrence
Taylor. Some people would say Andre Tippett.
Well, but I think he's another
Andre
example.
Tippett probably would.
They're not easy to find.
And I would, because you never know when Andre Tippett's around.
Exactly.
They're not easy to find.
Or listening.
They're not just available. I thought that was pretty interesting, because it's a lot of what we've talked about before, about 3-4, 4-3, base versus nickel. And, now we know, and Belichick said it, 75% of the time we're in a nickel.
Right. And he called it a spike this year around the league.
Yeah.
You see trends, but then this year it has spiked. And he said there's only a couple teams that are sub 50%, below 50% for sub defense.
Right.
Or base defense.
I like that better, sub 50% sub defense.
Well, I knew that was going to go down a road I wasn't going to understand myself, never mind anyone else.
Yeah.
But he also talked about what we've talked about is Collins' rareness in that on one snap he can be in the backfield rushing the passer, and on the next snap he can be in the deep middle of the field, and there's not too many of those. Remember we talked about that? What game was that where he got toasted a little bit? But I don't know. He was in the end zone.
Chicago was Matt Forte beat him for a long touchdown.
It's one of those things where you're only going to ask a few people to even do that.
Right. The fact that he's that far downfield with an athletic guy like
Those guys are called like all pros and Pro Bowl caliber talents.
And there are a lot of guys like that now that are, they're more speed-based, and you don't have to be the prototypical 270-pound, thumper. Right. You want a little bit more versatility and agility. Like Collins, and I agree with Andy. I think Collins is sort of,
and he is pretty big, right?
He's good size.
260. Yeah.
He's like Derek Brooks.
Yeah,
he's good size. When you have, I think when Mayo went out, he sort of emerged as a more important playmaker. Him and Hightower, but they do it in a lot of different ways. Collins is so much more versatile, that and athletic. I think speed based. As well as having good size and good ability against the run. Hightower does a lot of things well, too. I don't want to sell him short because I think Hightower's been great, too.
No, but the difference is, I think, expectations. Whereas, yes, you were sold as a raw, versatile athlete on Collins, but Hightower, coming from Alabama as a first-round pick, I think you expected more of him, so he has to do more to exceed those expectations. A second-round pick out of Southern Mississippi who is raw and all this, it's easier for him to exceed expectations and wow you.
Sure.
And the other aspect, I thought it was interesting, Bill, he was talking about how he never got to learn any one job because he went from quarterback to safety to inside linebacker to outside linebacker, defensive end. He said he could probably still play all of those now. And I thought that was kind of I don't care about the linebackers, but if he could play safety.
Yeah, we were joking around.
We think Cam Chancellor's big?
We were joking around about Andre Tippett and what he would probably think. Jamie Collins, in all seriousness, would tell you, oh, yeah, I could do all those things. Because Jamie Collins, one of his strong suits is his confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that really serves him well. He's not like one of those guys that doesn't take it seriously because he just thinks he's great. I think he has a lot of confidence in his own ability to do things, and he does not get discouraged. He does not get beaten down by, a lot of guys, they want to be brash. They get beat by Matt Forte on that play that Andy brought up earlier, and they're a different guy after that. Not him. That's a fluke to him, and he's going to make sure that doesn't happen the next time.
Yeah. So I thought there was some interesting things, and then, he talked about staffing your, not staffing, but building your personnel around the system you want to play, or, because you can't get those guys, changing your system to adapt. So I thought there was some interesting things there. Things that we've all talked about before, but it was just cool to hear him talk about that in such detail.
Some would argue he's late to that party and that we were ahead of that curve.
Oh, well, I don't know who those people are, but me. I know you're one of them. Yeah.
I mean, no, we've been talking about, Bill, if you can't get the 6'4", 264, 6 guy, then maybe you need to make your scheme fit the athletes that are available at the college level.
Yeah, and you've been in on that, too. Don't make it sound like it's just being Andy and I. we've talked
it's
a lot about
on grass, Paul.
Some of the things on defense, some of the principles. You know, we bring up the Scott Pioli quote when he said to Andy at the combine one year, you know, back in the 80s, they were telling us that 3-4 was out of style, and we won some Super Bowls with that since then. Yeah, it's a different game now.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a different
and
game
he,
now.
He said that. He says back in the day, you know, there were a couple teams looking for a nose tackle. Now, or, you know, then it changed to, you know, eight teams in front of us were all looking for a nose tackle. Right. Now what do you do?
And I don't know that the 3-4 is dead. The way they did it is dead.
Yes. The 310-pound
You might
end.
Be able to put the 3-4 line that the Patriots had, Wilfork, Warren, and Seymour, you might be able to put them in front of more speed-based, versatile, athletic guys
today
and play
be fine.
It. Yep. Because the other team's not running as much. They're not as powerful. They run differently. You know, you need to go with the times. And I think we have talked about he might have been a couple years slow or hesitant to do that, probably because of what Pioli said. He's thinking the same thing. Well, yeah, they told me in 88 it was dead, and they told me in 94 it was dead. And I'm not going to, you know, he played the role of me with Tom Brady. He waited 3 years after to say he was done.
Sometimes when you get,
I think it was five,
when you get entrenched in a certain system, it's hard to unravel all that, not just because of a stubbornness, but because of, you know, you have guys on contract that fit in that system.
Right.
You can't just overnight change everything. So it takes time, especially when you're really entrenched in something, it takes time to adapt to what you really want to do. And I think, I don't know if it was 06. I remember him talking, you know, we just need to get, it was at the end of the season.
Faster.
Yeah, we need to get faster on defense. He said that.
Yeah, and then he was still slow a little to do it,
I
think.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Like we talked about Vince Wilfork. When was that deal?
It's not like you could just go to the supermarket and buy these guys off the shelf.
No, my point is when they signed Vince Wilfork to a 5 or a 6 year deal, we were talking about where the game's going. Do you want to invest in a 350-pound nose tackle? Is that the way the game, or is it being played on the edges and corners and outside linebackers? You know, how often did we have those discussions? And that was a long time ago. That was 5, 6, 7 years ago. So we were ahead of that curve,
but I do think
I'm gonna say it again.
I do think there's been some changes to the way he goes about it too.
Yeah,
more recent changes than I don't think that he decided this is what he wanted to do 8 years ago, and now he's finally got all the pieces in place for it. I think that he's sort of changed how he goes about defenses, attacking a little bit differently. How about the stunting up front that we talk about a lot? I don't think that's a lot. I don't think he did a lot of that before. Not necessarily blitzing. But I was talking to Key Mayers yesterday. Key Mayers was he's going to be the interview on PFW TV.
I like his hair.
That's where he's gotten a lot of his production from. Starting outside, looping all the way around. He's fast. He's a faster guy.
Yeah, he can
do it. If you ask some of the other guys that maybe have played linebacker to do that same route, they might not get there in time. Mayo might not get there in time on the same kind of a blitz. Now, I think Mayo's had some success doing those kinds of blitzes too, but I think Ayers is really fast, and I think that's a guy that he's sort of found a way to use him in a more athletic way than maybe he did with, you know, the veterans like Teddy Bruschi and Roman Pfeiffer back in the day, because they were a little bit longer in the tooth and probably not as fast and quick to do those things.
And I still have my doubts as to how much of he has changed a little bit more to 4-3 and different personnel was by design, or it felt like he got forced into it in the lockout year where he signed Mark Anderson and Andre Carter, and they had to do it because whatever that was available, and we got to get, boom, 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 boom. And maybe he realized, I can tweak this or I can do. I wonder what role that played in there in that 11 season.
And Chandler Jones is a guy also that factors into that, because he's probably a guy that he wouldn't have gone after back in the day because he didn't fit the Andy thing, that the 6'4", 4'6". You know, maybe, you know, is he strictly an outside linebacker in a 3-4? Well, Bill doesn't worry about that now because they're in sub all the time, so they kind of play 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like the old 3-4 with Richard Seymour in that role. I mean, they experimented a little bit early in the year with him as that 3-4 Seymour type, and he wasn't big enough to hold up. Now he's more of a stand-up guy on the edge, but not really an outside linebacker, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
He can set the edge on the run as an outside guy, but you're not asking him to drop a tremendous amount in coverage. He'll do it occasionally.
Yeah.
But again, another athletic guy that can move in space.
The other carryover storyline from yesterday, it's official that Josh McDaniels has agreed to interview with the 49ers and the Falcons here in Foxborough. So,
well, it's reported, right?
Okay, well, yeah, it's a report now that he's agreed to.
It's not like the Patriots put out a release.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I shouldn't say official, but there's a report out there now that says that they're going to interview him here in Foxborough, which makes sense because Belichick, when talking about it, I don't know if it was on a conference call, said, you know, we'll do what we can within our
But the priority is getting ready. Right. If he can fit it in around that, then no problem.
So that makes sense that he's not getting on a plane going anywhere.
And they've
anywhere.
Done that in the past.
Yeah, they're coming here.
Remember Romeo, I believe, the Browns came here to a hotel room or something. They might be at the Renaissance or
Could
something.
Be.
Who knows? Rent out a room there. Yeah. And that's what they're all doing. The Quinn guy, all the teams are in Seattle interviewing him. They'll probably come here afterwards. I think that's really interesting. I think Josh is, you know, where he is.
You've convinced me. I was like, you know, what is Andy seeing in Josh McDaniels that has him so high on that he could be a good head coach? And this morning, I think you made a very good case.
Well, thank you, Fred.
What was that case?
Why I don't know. What was it?
Well, make it on me because I'm not so sure.
How did I convince you?
Well, I'll tell you where I come from. You know, I was like, I thought he was a disaster in Denver. I think as an offensive coordinator, he's been very good. But so was Charlie Weiss. So was, you know, Billy O'Brien. And Josh McDaniels. So what did he do that the other guys didn't do?
Well, wait.
He had Tom Brady.
Bill O'Brien.
You don't have to argue with me yet. What?
But Bill O'Brien's
he's
good.
He's on your side.
No, I know, but Bill O'Brien's good.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying they were all good here in this system.
Okay.
So what did he do that was extraordinary as an offensive coordinator? So, you know, that's where I'm coming from. I'm just like, okay, so, you know, he's good, but why is he always high on people's lists, especially the second time around? And then – You made the case today, then okay, you know, I could go there.
Okay. What case?
What was the case?
I need help.
You don't remember?
I say a lot of things.
Okay, so.
What exactly, what put you over the top?
What was the part of his argument? Because I'm not convinced that.
Well, I think he didn't screw up here as an offensive coordinator, so he did a good job. Then he went to Denver, and yes, it turned out terribly, but you've got to remember he started out 6-0, 7-0. You know, had that offense with Kyle Orton as the number one offense in the league at the time.
And Brandon Lloyd made him into a star, his best
year. Yeah, with limited weapons. And then you can make the case that, you know, he had that down, but he didn't have being a head coach down. He didn't have what it took to, you know, relate to a GM or your quarterback. You know, all that leadership type stuff down. And if he had a little bit more experience, you know, it would have been really good. And now the second time around, maybe he's learned and maybe people see the success he had, you know, with the other stuff and have faith that, you know, he's learned his lessons, will do it better a second time around. And they're willing to take a chance on this guy because he is young and he's, you know, he's obviously bright because he does a pretty good job in these interviews with people. So maybe he has, you know, what they're looking for.
And you get to ask him those questions.
Yeah.
What happened in Denver? What happened with Jay Cutler? What happened with Brandon Marshall?
Why won't it happen now?
Right. So you get to
see the answer. And it's not like
Brandon
Marshall and Jay Cutler went off and had these careers where, oh, you know, it was obviously Josh McDaniels. No, you can see where it was partly them.
Well, Brandon Marshall has.
Yeah. Brandon Marshall's turned into a star.
Brandon Marshall was already a star.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's done nothing to diminish that.
Oh,
Jay Cutler.
No, I'm talking about not playing. He's had some still in the locker
room. Well, he's bipolar.
Stuff. Right.
I mean, he's a known
diagnosed wide receiver.
Bipolar.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an NFL wide receiver.
He's actually diagnosed as bipolar.
No, I know, but they're crazy.
He's a medical. I think the one I agree with you 100% on is Jay Cutler.
Josh
said that's not the guy I want, need, can win with.
And he looks better today.
A douche.
Right.
Josh looks better today for the Jay Cutler thing.
And it's perfect. The timing.
To me, not the Brandon Marshall thing. He looks better for
Jay Cutler. But the Brandon Marshall thing was just, it wasn't about the same things as Cutler. The Brandon Marshall thing was as simple as about a diva wide receiver, money, and all that.
But he also was good.
And you're a young,
6-0 start was
coach.
A lot of Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, but you're a young, but unestablished coach, and you're trying to, you know, be the authority guy over a guy. It just didn't work.
Right.
Because you didn't have the gravitas.
Well, I mean, most people it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I mean, those feuds, Bill Belichick didn't exactly win a feud with Terry Glenn.
It was even a feud. It's tough to come in with a guy like that and, you know, have control.
Right.
You know, like Randy Moss in a lot of places, he was a model citizen here up until the end. But a lot of places he wouldn't be because there wasn't Bill Belichick and Tom Brady to kind of.
And rings.
Yeah.
But my
gravitas.
Point, Bill Belichick was Bill Belichick, and he and Terry Glenn couldn't work. The diva whack job receiver.
That's true.
Didn't work.
That's true.
Because he didn't have anything.
He didn't have it then.
Right. That's what I mean. And it might not have worked with Randy Moss in 2000.
Right. And that's why
that's true.
I'm not convinced on McDaniels.
Yeah.
Well, but you face that with anybody.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. I mean,
unless you hire Bill Belichick.
But not everybody is going to be so, set. I think he tried. I'll be curious to see how he tries to alter his approach. I do think that part of the problem was the whole setup. And Andy and I talked to Josh a little bit about this, at times, some of the things that happened in Denver, and not getting into specifics, but I don't think he expected to have everything put on his plate.
Well, that's when he was given an incredible amount of control.
Okay? And I
for
do think
so young and inexperienced.
He needs someone, I think, to maybe, because he had some hits and misses in terms of acquiring talent.
Yeah,
people don't bring up Demaryius Thomas.
Oh,
but
now we say Tim Tebow. What was that?
No, but that's a big part of his resume.
It's unbelievable.
You fraud.
You really are unbelievable. The Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, I would have drafted Tim Tebow in the first round as my
quarterback. No, but when he was here, he was
but
great.
But you loved him.
I do love him. But not as a first-round quarterback. Come on.
Okay, how about Alphonso Smith in the second round as a cornerback?
I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. So I think he had some misses in terms of his personnel, but he also has some, people don't ever bring up like Demaryius Thomas.
Right.
That was not an easy evaluation, but that wasn't – it's one thing if you hit with Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald.
Right.
That was not an easy eval.
Right.
That was a guy who played in a wishbone-oriented offense at Georgia Tech that not everybody was convinced he was going to be as great as he is.
And that's how I bitch-slapped Steve from Fall River.
Is there a George Godsey connection there?
George Godsey.
For Demaryius Thomas?
I don't think so. I think Godsey was before.
Ended up on the Patriots.
Godsey was before.
Or was he?
I don't think Godsey had a connection.
Okay.
I mean, I'd have to go back and look.
So.
But I think that was wishbone time for Georgia Tech. And
okay.
Godsey was not a wishbone quarterback at Georgia Tech.
Right.
No, but he wasn't an assistant there.
Well, Bill O'Brien was too.
Yeah.
But that
okay.
was different.
All right.
Different. I think it's different era, but I'm not positive.
All
I'd
right.
have to go
anyway,
back and look at the
chronology. They all swim
chronology.
In the same pool.
Well, it really is incestuous.
Oh, God, yeah.
I am really pulling for Josh because it's a personal thing. I really like the guy. He's been really good to Andy and I. I want to see him succeed. I think he's a smart guy, but I'm not sure he's a great coach.
He must be impressive.
See, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure he's a great coach. I'm not sure he's a great, what you call, the CEO and leader and all that other stuff. I think if you give him
some
players,
all of that as being a
no, I know, but I'm positive, or 99% positive. If I just threw Josh McDaniels to a team that has quarter, like a Madden game where the talent is there, the numbers, the ratings, he will do a good job putting together an offense.
But I think that 99%. This is where Fred stood yesterday, and I. This is the part that I side with Fred on. I think most guys would succeed if they had everything in place for them.
Yeah,
I think there's
very
few guys out there that would mess up a good thing. But can he get the good thing together? I don't know.
And what happens when the good thing has hiccups?
Right. Oh, yeah. And that,
yeah, and then can you sustain the good thing?
There's plenty of that all the way around.
You know, obviously he had the 6-0 start, and then would he lose something like 15 to the next 17 or something?
Yeah,
something
like
insane?
Yeah, it just imploded.
And that happens.
Yeah.
But my thing would be, okay, so there's five openings. Who are the five best candidates, and where does Josh rank among those five? Is he in the ballpark of five? I'm not telling you that Josh McDaniels, boom, will win two Super Bowls. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying if I'm considering people for the five openings, I'm very comfortable considering Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, now here's my question for you guys.
I would take a year off like Fred because I really want to think about it.
Does he take one if he gets offered it? Is he gone?
I think this time he does.
If he gets offered one of those two jobs that he's linked to now,
I think they're both good jobs.
I think they're both
pretty good
jobs.
He had a quarterback in Denver too until he said, "I don't want that quarterback."
Maybe he doesn't want Matt Ryan.
The Kaepernick one's a little bit of an X factor. I think you can work with Matt Ryan. I don't think that's an issue. But Kaepernick,
one guy's won a lot more than the other.
No, I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm saying I could say that Kaepernick could have more talent than Flynn. I'm not Flynn. With Ryan, but I'm saying coming in as a new coach, you might be have an easier time working with Ryan.
So you think Kaepernick's a little bit of a stallion that might need breaking?
Kaepernick needs some work, and it's more upstairs than with his physical ability.
Oh, I think it's physical too.
Well,
I'm not sold on his ability to throw the football with touch and accuracy and all the things you need in the NFL.
I think he could do it. It's just that he chooses not to at times. He takes shortcuts and.
Okay, I guess he chooses not to put touch on whatever, but I have questions about his passing game.
I have a question about his work ethic. I think that he spent a lot of time partying.
Yeah, I put that in the mental
off-season
category.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that out there?
this, you know, that's what people write about it. I don't know if there's any validity to it.
So
but I think he's a guy.
Like Cutler?
Oh, no, I didn't say that.
No.
I didn't say that.
Do
I
you
just
like
think,
Manziel?
But his priorities aren't.
I'm not sure that you know, I don't think there's enough Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in him where I'm preparing in the offseason.
Well,
this is when I'm watching film and getting better and improving my game. To your point, he still throws everything 100 miles an hour every time.
Right. And for any coach going into 49ers, I think job number one is what's the deal with Kaepernick? You know, what am I going to do with this guy? That's your first priority coming into that position.
I wouldn't want him.
You know, so now
I'd take Kaepernick.
Yeah, now
if I was Josh McDaniels, if I was Rex Ryan,
getting older.
No, I think I would go to Atlanta. I think I'm with you. The only problem with Atlanta is they don't have a defense. Yeah. And am I good enough to make a defense?
Yes. If I were Josh, I would take Kaepernick. If I was Rex Ryan, I wouldn't want any part of Kaepernick because
right.
I can't fix him. If
right.
I'm Josh, I have confidence in my abilities to fix a guy who has
the
talent
by
the
way,
to be fixed. I would take that in a heartbeat.
By the way, reportedly,
like
Ryan's lobbying very hard for the Atlanta job. He wants that
Who
job.
Is?
Rex Ryan.
Rex?
Yeah,
I think that
makes sense.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Now,
the Ryans, you put them together with an ad campaign, Matt Ryan, Rex Ryan, the perfect couple.
I think the Atlanta job is might be more attractive because, I think Arthur Blank is one of those owners that, what do you need? Anything you need.
Yeah.
I'll get you the resources, whatever you want. I mean, obviously, we know he's got the money. But not all of the guys are willing to just say, what do you want that for?
Yeah,
I'm not sure you need that. I think Arthur Blank is like Robert Kraft. If that's something that you need and you think it's going to make us better, let's do it.
And don't you think he's further along
then I'm
in the
hold
process?
You accountable.
Right.
Don't you think he's further along in the process of learning to be an NFL
owner? Yeah, he's not
owner.
A young owner like
I'm
Jed,
not sold
like,
on Jed York.
Like Jed York.
The years of wheeling around Michael Vick in a wheelchair are way behind him.
Right. I think he's learned a lot with experience. I think they're moving into a new stadium that should help them down there. And I think and I know this is short-sighted, but I think it's valuable. Andy and I talked about this in the pregame last week. You're in a division that you probably can win. Whereas in the West, you're banging heads with Seattle. And that's hard. So you can be 12-4 and be a wild card.
Yeah,
that's hard. Even if you're very successful, you might not win the division. Whereas if you're very successful at Atlanta, you're probably going to win that division.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I think Atlanta is nowhere near as good as San Francisco. If you're just talking pure talent on the roster, I think Atlanta is three players. Ryan and the two receivers. I think the rest of the roster needs a lot of help. That's where our boy Dimitrov needs to step it up.
And how's he doing?
I think they've lost a lot of their talent over the years.
But, I mean, he has made some questionable decisions. And I'm not going
to... Pioli! Tyson Jackson. Pioli came in and poisoned the whole well.
That's interesting, too. I forgot he was still down there.
Oh, yeah. There's a Patriot South version there.
Yeah, I don't know what McDaniel's relationship was with Pioli. If that would be a positive for him or a negative, I don't know.
Well, it's Dimitrov and then Pioli.
No, I know, but...
That is also concerning. Because I think from afar, everybody assumed they were on thin ice. So,
I thought,
am I going in and then you're going to hire a different GM next year? So am I going to have 1 year and then a different GM and then all of a sudden I might be out, blah, blah, blah? That's a consideration.
It's interesting, Pioli's name hasn't come up anywhere because you would think he'd be primed for picking.
You think that maybe he insulated himself and curried favor with the new owner, huh?
Where's the, where's that Britney Spears song, Toxic?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what happens when... you could argue that his run in Kansas City, while longer, was every bit as terrible as Josh's run in Denver, on and off the field.
Sure.
In terms of creating an atmosphere of adversarial nature with everybody involved
and
all that.
Oh, you mentioned that Korn Ferry group. You got to believe that a lot of teams have talked to people in Kansas City about stuff that went
on. The off-the-field stuff, I would really agree with Andy. Now, on the field, I think his performance was probably better than it was given credit. He didn't have the right coach because you brought in a new coach and immediately won.
I think he was hits and misses. He just had more chances to hit and miss.
Yeah, but
I
think
he was there longer.
The talent wasn't the problem in Kansas City. Let's put it that way. I mean, if they came in and won 20 games in the 2 years that Andy Reid has been the coach.
Right.
You know, they were winning, 20 games in 4 years when Pioli was there.
Right, but part of that was they got the right quarterback to work his system instead of Matt Cassel, who Pioli knew exactly what he was and decided was the quarterback, right?
Yeah, and even then, when they first brought Cassel there, he won.
Right, 1 year. He had
one year.
He really just wanted Vrabel.
No turnover. And by the way, I just need to, anybody that complains that we don't talk enough football and we don't, that was as in-depth a discussion of Josh McDaniels and coaching as you're going to get.
In-depth, that was.
Yeah.
although we didn't touch on the fact that Daboll, as you said, is a slam dunk.
if McDaniels were to leave,
okay, I mean,
wouldn't it?
You were a little more all in than I was on that. Oh, I think it's very highly likely
based on what he's done over the past.
I think he'd be the in-house candidate,
but
he promotes from within for the coordinators.
Okay.
Yeah, I would think
you
that he would
be
the
guy. You just were a little stronger on it than I would have worded it.
I would think he'd be the in-house guy if they stay in-house.
Not Chad O'Shea?
I would put him over Chad O'Shea, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
Tom Curran agrees with us. He wrote something today about the potential, and he thought he mentioned O'Shea and he mentioned Ivan Fears, and he said, but Dable would be the clear-cut.
There is no shot. No offense to Ivan Fears, but he is not going to be the next offensive coordinator.
Well, he's just talking about all the guys on staff. That's all.
You know, as I walked the length of the service tunnel this morning, I was wondering whether or not Brian Dable was being, you know, underutilized here, and I said, I have no idea. I have no idea how he's being utilized.
Right.
You know, maybe he's got so much on his plate right now that it involves a little bit of everything.
For all we know, he is, you know, usurped Tom Brady and is the third voice in the game plan.
Who knows?
I mean, remember early in the year, Brady doesn't get as much input as he wants or anymore, whatever.
Right.
Maybe that's because Dayball's taken over.
All I know one thing. Whatever he's doing, he's happy. Because you see Brian Dable, wherever he is, he's always got a smile, slap on the back.
Yes.
How you doing? He's not upset with things.
Right.
You know, he's in a, at least when I see him, he's always in a good mood.
And if you want to call us biased homers who promote our people,
guilty
if he
in
becomes
my case.
The offensive coordinator, be sure to hear us talking about him as the next hot head coaching candidate. Because I'm a big Brian Dable fan.
Well, let's give him a couple of years first, you know?
I mean, he is a three-time offensive coordinator. His resume on some levels
for our sake, let's keep him around a little bit.
Oh, but you won't be able, I mean, that's the way it works.
Oh, I know. Mangini's getting some
Raiders.
Mangini's supposedly up for the Raiders, yeah.
Which people are raving about as one of the better jobs because the quarterback.
I know Mangini left here in, you know, with ill will.
Yes.
And
didn't get the blessing.
Didn't get the blessing.
Didn't have the blessing.
But I'll tell you, that's a guy who's a good coach. I think he's a good coach.
That's a good coach.
I really do. I Eric Mangini had a little bit of a speed bump in his career.
I can't understand his definitions of good coaches based on his argument from yesterday. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't say head coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He can coach in this league.
Okay. Yeah.
He's good.
Who
he's
can't?
Smart.
He's a good graduate assistant in this league.
He's a smart.
Mike Tice? Who can't?
He's a smart coach. I don't know about his people skills and how he runs an organization, but I know he knows football inside and out. He's a good coach.
And you want to, you know, on the pro Josh thing, people were saying, well, you know, he gets to the big games and they fail, and, you know, look what he can't do. Well, is Bill O'Brien a bad coach because he failed miserably in the Super Bowl like Tom Brady did against the New York Giants, and yet Bill O'Brien left here, was the coach of the year at Penn State, and you could argue was the coach of the year in his first year in the NFL. So is he a bad coach because he came up short in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady?
Right,
no.
Right.
Ridiculous. You got to let everybody wants to anoint it on based on stats or this or that. Sometimes you need to watch and observe.
That's
and
the thing.
You're right. Do I think his press conferences add something to Josh? Yes. I think he has shown the ability to handle the media. And that's part of the job. For whatever value that is, whether it's 0.5% or 3%, he has done that.
Yep.
He has the ability to be personable now. Now, I know in Denver it went south and it got whatever, but you have to assume a smart man who's talented will learn.
Oh, speaking of press conferences, I guess this morning, Bruce Allen, the GM of the Redskins, had an epic fail press conference with the media. And the media smelled blood in the water, and they just went at him. And I guess he just got grilled.
A lot of those going around.
And the classic quote is, well, we're winning off the field. That's what he said.
Last thing you should tell a fan base.
Right.
Absolutely dead last on the. We're making money hand over fist, so what do we care?
So they just.
What an idiot.
They killed him. It was trending on Twitter. It was Bruce Allen.
Jed York had the same thing. Did you read your guy Florio? He did an interview with their flagship.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And
too.
The guy just. I'm not sure if the guy still works for the flagship or not, but went after him.
Somebody sent me that. I haven't listened to it.
You keep
yet.
Telling us to hold you accountable. Well, how do we do that? You're going to give back the money for the PSLs? How do we do that?
Right.
And the owner had no answers. No answers at all. None. And by the way,
didn't the guy that worked for their flagship already get suspended by them for something?
Well, one guy did, yeah. Because he criticized
San Francisco, right?
He criticized a wife beater so that the wife beater didn't get suspended. The guy who criticized a wife beater got suspended.
Right.
That was the radio guy, yeah.
Right.
I don't think it's the same guy.
Not
but
the
I don't
same
know.
Guy.
But he went after him. It was good. It was interesting.
All right. Well, interesting time in the NFL.
Update from the practice field, by the way.
Oh, okay.
We just should. Alan Branch was added to the list of not seen during media viewing portion.
Okay.
Brandon LaFell, still not seen.
And if he was there, you'd see him.
I love when he cracks himself up with his little stupid jokes.
All right. Webber,
I wonder if he's celebrating Harbaugh. Maybe he's celebrating, because he always walks around the locker room with the Michigan stuff. Big Michigan stuff on. Maybe he's celebrating Harbaugh going to Michigan.
You know, I'm intrigued to see now that Big Ten rivalry with Michigan and Ohio State. This renews it, doesn't
it? I love it. I love
this
that.
This is great.
It's still Big Ten football, so I'm really not all that interested.
Oh, come on, Paul.
You know why? Because they play in the cold weather. He doesn't like when weather matters.
Really? The SEC, I know, is the best
conference
right now. They can't
win, that's all. They don't have as good of players.
I don't know. Like, last year, wasn't it an ACC? Seems like there's other teams that have been competing in these big bowl games and beating
SEC. Well, FSU. I mean, why?
Yeah, I mean, there's one team, Florida State. Yeah. Warm weather.
No, but you don't think, I mean, you have Ohio State in the playoff. You don't think they'd be better if they hadn't lost their top two quarterbacks? You'd be thinking of them as more likely to compete for a title?
Well, my boys have been a top 10 team the last 2 years.
But they're not at that level. Like, what happened when they played Oregon? What happened when they played Oregon?
Oh, they were winning in the third quarter, then got rolled.
Right. I'm rooting for the Big Ten.
So they're the Miami Dolphins.
I'm rooting for the Big Ten as a whole to get back up there.
Sure. Oh, I wouldn't mind it because I would like to see something other than SEC dominate. Yeah, absolutely. I would like that.
So would John Rook.
I don't think it's going to happen, that's all. I think that right now the talent base in college football is all based in California, Texas, and Florida. And those kids don't want to go and play in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a sweeping generalization, but I think that's largely true. I think those skill position guys that are the elite athletes want to stay in the warm
weather. See, I know back in the day, the draw was how much attention am I going to get? How much media attention? And
now that's irrelevant because
now,
they all get
right,
an immense amount
irrelevant.
Of attention.
So now you say the big draw is climate?
Climate is huge.
That's how I feel.
That's in all sports, all life. I mean, that's Celtics trying to get a free agent. Why would I want to go to Boston? Why would I want to go to Ann Arbor?
But when you talk about program and facilities and
they all have great programs and facilities.
That's what I was saying.
But when you walk to class, is it 12 degrees and snowing? And are the girls wearing white tank tops, or are they wearing parkas?
Who are you kidding? They don't go to class.
So
you can still get the other stuff.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to where the FSU girls have their big hands
McDonald's,
and their cowboy
that's
hats.
When you see it.
Right?
I guess.
Yeah, and you can't fault them. They're all men. These guys are all men.
I know.
And they think the same way we do.
And I understand.
Underneath that parka, she's a girl, too.
No,
I don't understand.
It's a generalization. It's not.
Yeah, you do.
It's not black and white.
Let's go to the park.
And sometimes when they take the park off, it's not what you expected.
And I understand it's not.
Who wants to talk football?
No, because I don't. No, I'm not trying to make it out to be like it's impossible for Ohio State to win. I understand there's
pay enough. And
I'm making it be a general statement like all the good players only want to play in warm weather. Well, obviously that's not true. There's some guys that are excellent players. Ohio State has cranked out first-round picks over the last several years. Ohio State has talent just like everybody else. So I understand that it's a generalization. I don't want people to say, what about all the other guys from Ohio State that have been dominant, or, the different players from Michigan State or Wisconsin, J.J. Watt, whatever.
Yeah.
I understand there's talented players everywhere. I just think there are more of them, and they're more inclined to stay in the warm weather
climates. I do, but I think when you've got a coach like Urban Meyer or Harbaugh, and you're a kid that has pro aspirations, okay, if I play under Harbaugh, there's a good chance I could, I'm going to get what I need to do, get to the
NFL. Well, he'll certainly make them better. There's no doubt about that. He's a great coach.
So hopefully, I don't know.
I'm rooting for him just for the, the theater.
I'm rooting for him because I hate Ohio State. I hate Urban Meyer.
I don't.
I'll root for him.
I'm rooting for another great powerhouse, a northern powerhouse, and just to add to the whole mix.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever turn it into a northern powerhouse.
See, this is where I'm with you and the competitive thing. Because I don't have skin in the game. I want as many good teams as possible to make Saturdays more enjoyable.
And especially the marquee teams.
Yeah.
Like Notre Dame, it sucks that Notre Dame is playing LSU on a Tuesday in the whatever the hell
that
was.
Yeah, see, I think that was great. I think the fact that there are other teams that are involved with the bigger games instead of the same old teams every year, I think is great. Now, you guys have made the argument, and I don't think you're wrong, but I just disagree with it, that it's better if Notre Dame is great. I hate Notre Dame. I couldn't stay. I want
but
them
you
to
hated them because they were good.
Right. It's better
I want
to hate
lose
them.
Every game.
You
well,
wouldn't even know who they were if they.
But in
they
general,
were Bowling Green.
But in general, Fred, they really haven't been good for 20 since Lou Holtz left.
No,
I mean, they've had a couple
had
of years
reputation.
Here and
we
there.
Grew
but
up, we grew up with Notre Dame being good.
Yeah, and I liked them then.
And Newt Rockne kicked
what
ass
happened?
Back then.
What happened that you didn't like them?
Nothing. I just don't. I don't like their style of football. I don't think they play a good brand of football.
He's a contrarian. Everybody likes Notre Dame.
Right.
You can't like Notre Dame.
Everybody likes Notre Dame?
A lot of people like Notre Dame. They're a very popular team.
My wife likes
I don't like
Notre
their
Dame,
style
right?
of football.
Why do you like Notre
My
Dame?
Son likes Notre Dame, and I asked him, and he, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're
right?
on TV all the time, so
it's,
I like them
exactly.
or whatever. I don't know.
You know, I like teams that throw the ball. I don't like teams that play, you know, this 1970s style of football. That's why I stopped liking Notre Dame. Everybody else started throwing the ball, and they didn't.
Were you a big
Joe
ABA
Lou Holtz
fan
kept running the option.
Back in the day?
The ABA?
The ABA.
Before my time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because you would have loved the ABA. You're into all that flash and everything.
Throwing the ball. Flash. Who's the old guy now?
And you don't even really have
all
to throw it,
all that fancy passing.
You don't even really have
jazz
to throw
hands.
It. I mean, half these teams that, quote, throw it, barely throw it. But they throw it more than
yeah,
a Notre
and
Dame
I don't like the spread option either.
But that's what I mean. Their version of throwing it is a little screen pass that he goes down the sideline.
Yeah, and in general, I would say right now, college football, the level, the game, the style of game, I don't find overly interesting to watch.
You know why, Paul?
Because they all run the same things that you're talking about.
But not just
bubble
that
screens.
They run it, that they run it through basically the eyes of the coach. It's so much is we're going to line up, then we're going to look to the sideline. He's
oh,
going to tell me exactly
that.
What to do.
If they were running interesting plays, I would like it. But they
see,
it's,
I think
it's all bubble screens
it
and
it gets
read
down
option.
To your thing that you said. You know, I don't want to be outsmarting people. I want to see the biggest guy hit the biggest guy and see who's better.
Yeah, I like to see.
It's
yeah,
not
like,
that in college football now. It's the coaches making these adjustments and the quarterbacks
yeah.
just basically being a regurgitation.
Yeah,
I get what
like
you're
that.
Saying about that.
I want to see Bo Jackson run through Boz.
Yeah, and your guy, Tim Tebow, was a big part of that.
What, ruining college football?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of success doing exactly what you just said.
Not sure how we got there.
I don't know either, but I like when we get to places like that.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. People have been hanging on. Thank you for that. Trey is in Memphis. Hey, Trey. Trey.
Trey Bien.
Trey.
Trey.
I can't hear him. Trey.
Pot him up.
I don't know.
I've been listening to some of the most. I mean, I've never heard so much negativity, man, from fans about a team that's 12-4, number one seed.
Okay, stop. Stop right there, Trey. Where have you been listening? Because we need to qualify this.
Strawville.
I've been listening, replaying the show. I mean, on the podcast, I've just been listening to so much negativity about the offensive line. I've been listening to. The playbook and just the stuff that I've been hearing, man, about the offensive line and, you know, everybody's giving
and all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
But is it anything but the offensive line? I feel like that's the only thing people are questioning is the offensive line.
And it's concerning.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, it's just been hearing so much negativity, man.
Yeah, but you know, it's realism, and, Trey. It's realism. The offensive realism, line started the year sucking and ended the year questionable.
Yeah. Well, Andy, it's true. I mean, you know, the line has, I mean, the offense in general has been, you know, taking a step back. I mean, but Jesus Christ, man. I mean, you know, we're still able to win the close game. And, you know, and I credit the struggles to, I mean, man, you talk about game, that Gundy, man, that the team had to go through. I mean, guys, I mean, you're not going to put up 30 or 40 points a game throughout this stretch. I'm sorry.
But they did throughout the stretch, the quote-unquote stretch, right?
But I think, you know what?
Because when they got out of the stretch, they started struggling.
I'll have to admit, okay, call me a homer or whatever. Or,
right.
You know, that's what I want. I want 30 points a game.
Right. Everybody should want that.
You know, and I know, you know.
It doesn't make you a homer.
No, but unrealistic.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I think this team should be scoring 30 points a game. Let's put it that way.
Every game?
Pretty much, you know. Unless,
yeah, I think that's a little unreal.
Unless you go up against the Jets, I give the Jets. They have our number. You know, maybe Detroit. You know, you're gonna have to grind out some points. But
it's hard to go through the playoffs.
I think
do
when
that.
You play Green Bay, you should score 30 points.
Yeah, I think that's hard. I think that's unrealistic.
Okay.
Not in that individual game, but all of the games.
For both teams, I mean, but you know, just to listen to fans talking about, man, they're scared of the Cowboys. You know, they're afraid of Pittsburgh. And, you know, they I don't want to see.
No one's afraid of anybody.
Travis,
it's pretty simple.
Don't put me in that category. Yeah, I'm not afraid of
anybody. It's Trey, not Travis. But no one in New England is afraid of any of the teams in the AFC. The only team that I've heard anybody be displaying any fear of is Seattle.
Right. Yeah. Once you get there.
And
if you get there.
In the AFC, I think people are looking at these two games as foregone conclusions, to be honest with you. I've heard a lot of people even dismiss Denver as even having a shot of being able to win.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Patriots should go to the Super Bowl, right?
Right. They should.
Failure if they don't go to the Super Bowl. You've been to three straight AFC title games. You added Darrelle Revis. You're telling everybody we have a defense now. We're balanced. We're complementary. You need to improve on what you've been doing, and what you've been doing is going to the AFC title game, go to the Super Bowl. Anything beyond that, you lose to Seattle, I might not say failure, depending on how it plays out.
Yeah, and there's no other team in the AFC that has done that type of improvement. You could say, well, you know, Pittsburgh's offense is better than it ever was, but their defense isn't.
Terrible.
You know,
terrible.
So, and now Bell's hurt. You know,
yeah, and one of the big parts of their offense is hurt. So
I mean, he's the centerpiece of that offense. Brown is great.
Yeah.
But they run and they throw to Bell. They set that's a huge thing to lose.
Right.
And that's why if he's dinged up at all and they're signing Ben Tate and he's playing and all that, bye-bye. Thanks for playing. Because I thought Pittsburgh has to score 35 to win.
Yeah. Now, they might be able to get by Baltimore.
Right, because Baltimore's not that good.
Right, and they might not have to score a ton of points to beat Baltimore, because Baltimore is probably going to be in the 24 range at most, even against Pittsburgh. Your point, the 30 against – I think if they play Green Bay tomorrow, I'd expect them to score 30 in the 30s against Green Bay. But I'm saying when you have a stretch of games that's X, 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 and Green Bay's in that, I don't expect them to score 30 in every one of the games.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I can look at it individually and say, I expect them to score 30 against Green Bay. I don't think that's a great defense the Packers have. And the Patriots' offense is really good. So I expect them to score. But you can't score 35 points in every game.
Manning does it.
No, he doesn't.
Well, no, he hasn't lately, but, you know.
You know, he doesn't. And I don't – I also, when that offense was clicking, I don't put the Patriots' offense on that level. You know, until that St. Louis game, when Denver was played the first, 12 games of the year – I don't put the Patriots offense on that level. I don't know how you feel about it.
See, I think it could be.
I don't. I don't think they have that level of personnel.
Yeah. Well, I just think I think Brady is as good.
Brady and Gronk would
Gronk
be in that
better
defense.
Than I think Gronk is better than anyone they have.
I think Gronk and Brady would play on that offense. I think Edelman wouldn't.
I think right now LaFell Edelman's better than Welker.
Welker barely plays.
Well, he's better than
Sanders took that spot.
Well, and LaFell, well, LaFell, Demaryius
if Welker
Thomas.
If Welker was on the Patriots offense, he would have 95 catches.
Demaryius Thomas and Sanders are better than LaFell. I'll give you that.
Well, thanks. Yeah. That's what, mighty big of you.
I'll give you that.
How about Julius Thomas? Better than the who man?
No, Gronk is better than Julius Thomas.
I said Gronk and Brady would play for that offense. The rest of them would play for the Patriots.
So why do you bring up Julius Thomas again? We've already ruled him out.
He's not out.
He's better than him.
He's part of the offense that you don't have.
We have Gronk. He's better. Eric's
are you
New
missing
Jersey.
This?
Eric's in New Jersey.
Hey, how we doing, fellas? Happy New Year's.
You too.
I definitely want to say your comment that the girls are she's a girl under a parcel, too. I spilled my coffee on my patient. that was pretty funny. But, yeah, guys, I want to talk about this offseason. Now, basically, season's over now. What do you guys think about going in the offseason? I feel like I would like to add another wide receiver. I don't think we need to add a top number one wide receiver. I think Gronk is that guy. But what do you feel going in this offseason now that we have 16 games on tape? What do you feel heading in this offseason? What do we need to attack? Obviously, offensive line, but how would you approach it?
Well, you know, I really don't like talking about the off season yet. I think we're jumping ahead of ourselves here.
Where are you going to go with the 32nd pick in the draft?
No, just your
there you
I
go.
Mean, I'm talking free agency. I mean, obviously trade stuff like that. We're not a big trade team, so I'm just talking about free agency. You obviously know who's going to be coming up off free agency next year. So
I think you got to look at the offensive line interior. I think you have to.
Well,
right?
You start with Darrelle Revis. Getting Darrelle Revis figured out. And I know he's under contract.
Figure out your business here first.
I start with Darrelle Revis and everything else falls underneath.
Because if I don't re-sign Darrelle Revis, then that's a major, major need in the offseason.
That's my main priority.
Yes.
Don't, yeah. I would agree with that.
And then after that, yes, offensive line is a concern. Adding a pass rusher is probably a concern and all that other things, but that's irrelevant.
You got to figure out what you're going to do with Gerard Mayo.
Right.
You know, Shane Vereen.
I don't know.
And, yes, they could use a wide receiver, you know, to now, Eric's point.
No, Dobson, year three.
Whether or not you're going to sit out Gronk next year?
No. But, I mean, I look at the San Diego game, one of my best friends in Seattle, so I usually watch football over there, so I kind of catch, I watch a lot of the Seattle games. But what do you guys, I feel like I've seen Antonio Gates, I felt like the tight end, I think they exposed them on their safety, if you can kind of win the matchup on the tight end, not necessarily beat them on the outside, but if you can beat them in the middle of the field, I seem like they're a little bit more susceptible there. I mean, but obviously you need protection at the end of the day, but I feel like that's our biggest matchup, and I think that's our key, if you know what I mean, considering if we head to that promised land. That's all I wanted to say, though.
Okay.
Keep it up.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. Right. Thanks, Eric. Happy New Year.
Let's go to Justin.
Why do you have a stupid smirk on your face?
Let's go to Justin in Virginia.
He's got a stupid
smirk. Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Justin?
I'm trying to be fair and, like, look at these teams as if they were my team. But from my perspective, when I look at some of these games, man, I think that people are over-glorifying some of the opponents we're going up against. Like, I remember that one email y'all got or something that was like, I don't want Brady and the Patriots go to the Super Bowl because I don't want Brady to die or something. And like again,
what?
But like I feel like the Seahawks defense is a little bit of a mismatch against us because to me they still don't got a like answer for Gronk, and they got a shutdown corner and pretty much a Joe average number two corner. We got two very above average number two wide receivers, and Richard Sherman could take Brandon LaFell or Julian Edelman in my opinion, and that offense can't consistently score in my opinion.
I think that
I have no idea where we're going.
Yeah, I'm worried about Seattle if we were to get there. They're a formidable team, and I think the opportunity the Patriots would have would be you have to run the ball right at them. You have to out physical them somehow because Gronk will catch his passes, but he's not getting his yards after catch.
I'm not saying that Gronk wouldn't win his share of battles. But when you're talking about teams and what they have, wouldn't Seattle be one of the few teams they can match up with Gronk?
Right.
They have a huge cover safety. Yeah. And then they have a fast free safety.
Well, that's what I would say. They might fail in one or the other, but they, more than anyone, can throw two unique safeties at Gronk.
Yes.
If they say, I'm going to win this with size and physicality, then they go with Cam Chancellor. If they say, I'm just going to take a coverage safety, then they go with Earl Thomas. Most teams don't have one or the other, never mind both, to try.
Right. Like Eric Weddle really bothered Gronk that night for long stretches.
Based on that, I would go Earl Thomas.
They match up so well on to other teams' offenses and even with the Patriots. So you're going to have to run the ball in a game like that. You're going to have to.
And I think I think you lose if you do. I think you need to score points. You need to make Seattle chase you. You need you lose just because. I mean, I don't know if you're going to win. I'm saying I think you need to make Seattle chase you. You can't let Seattle play the way they want to play.
What if Seattle's chasing Brady?
Right. Well, what I'm saying, then you lose. This is like the whole thing that our argument about if they play their best game. Well, if the Patriots play their best game, then they're doing a good job of protecting Brady. Brady's doing a good job of getting the ball to LaFell and Edelman and Gronkowski. They're scoring points. They're playing from in front. And now Seattle has to match you scoring a situation that they don't want to be in. Now, if you don't play well and Seattle plays their game, then you running the ball against them is not, I don't think, the way to beat them. I know some teams have had success running right at Seattle. I think those are few and far between, and I think that you're not playing to your strengths if
Freddie
you do that.
Be in heaven, though. Jonas Gray and LeGarrette
Absolutely.
Blount.
That's what I'm gearing
I think
up
Seattle
for.
would welcome that game plan. Let's put it that way. You're going to try to play Seattle football against Seattle? I'll take my chances.
Speaking of LeGarrette Blount, did you get defensive at all or, you know, the – comment he made that the only team that can beat us is us, and ESPN puts it as a headline on not just Boston but on ESPN.
Everybody said it. I mean, everybody wrote it. Yeah. Doing the blitz, that was the headline for everybody.
See, I don't mind it. I don't mind the quote, but if a Patriot says it, it definitely sticks out more so. Because let's be honest, that's what Terrence Knighton said too.
Yep.
It was Terrence Knighton who said it, right?
Yep.
Right.
He said the same thing, and people made a big deal of that.
Yep.
And he's on a team where you're allowed to talk a little bit more, you know, the whole Welker thing, you're here, we're allowed to do blah, blah, blah. So coming out of New England, it's magnified just because it's so uncommon.
Right.
Now, I don't think he's saying anything other than,
no, but it's funny how it didn't resonate, though. You're right about that, yeah. Because it did with the Terrence Knighton thing. It was like, oh, there they go again.
Right.
When are they going to learn? And then the Patriots do it, and it's like, oh, yeah. Well, he's right.
Now, Terrence Knighton didn't help himself when he responded to the stuff by going on Twitter and saying, I didn't effing guarantee we were going to win the, like, and going off and extending the story.
Yeah, you did. Pat from,
yeah, you did.
Pat from Agawam, Merry New Year. What's up, PFW crew? I know I've exclaimed this many times before, but thank you guys for being the absolute best of the best at what you do. I wanted to take time to make a few predictions and resolutions for 2015. Freddie, all the guys deserve raises for the work and commitment
to
show the organization, minus Eric, of course. So my first prediction is Fred gives Paul, Andy, and Kevin raises. I'm crossing my fingers. Prediction two, roughly around 10 p.m. Eastern on February 1st, our New England Patriots will hoist their fourth Vince Lombardi trophy. Rob Gronkowski will make history, becoming the first tight end to win the Super Bowl MVP award.
Is that true? Paul?
Yeah, I don't know.
No tight ends ever won the MVP?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Prediction three, my guy Andy Hart will unfortunately leave PFW for a full-time gig at EEI. However, his stint will last only 3 weeks after he accidentally breaks Kirk Minahan's pencil neck by flicking him in the nose after a heated altercation. On his way out of the building, he'll kick Dennis and Callahan in the balls for good measure. Prediction four, Paul Perilla will lose 30 pounds after I challenge him to a 90-day weight loss challenge. I've gained over 60 pounds in the last 18 months.
What?
That's
Pat. Not healthy, Pat.
Yeah, that's.
Do you have a thyroid problem?
And prediction five.
I've gained 60 pounds since college.
Prediction five, Fred will find new and creative ways to incorporate the word pussy.
Not for lack of trying.
PFW in progress. Prediction six, and the biggest no-brainer, Eric will remain a virgin. The only resolution, I have to buy a bigger house for my soon-to-appear twins, wife, and two teenage brats.
Yeah, you got twins coming. You need to drop a few lbs.
60 pounds
in
a year and a half.
He's got two teenagers, and he's bringing in twins?
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
And he needs to lose some weight.
Yeah.
I'm worried
now. As the Beatles said, you got to start employing the zone coverage.
60 pounds? What?
The zone defense.
You can't man up.
Can't man up.
That's concerning. Look into that. I'm also worried about, he didn't have a resolution of where I end up after I lose my gig at EEI.
Fred?
Yeah.
Andy. Fred.
Yeah, not this time, Andy. Sorry about that. Yeah.
We should say, he brings it up, though. We should thank all our listeners. This is a good time of year. We do have great listeners. I don't know if we always go overboard enough on people who buy lunch, but we appreciate it when everybody buys lunch, when you send us gifts, when you send us coffee, when you send us anything. We appreciate it. We have great listeners.
Well, I was, you know.
And the fact that they listen as much as they do and as passionately as they do. Seriously. Right. I mean, they remember things that we said. You know, sometimes we don't like that they remembered some stupid stuff that I said.
Yeah.
And they throw it back at us. But the fact that there are as many of them as there are, and that they listen as intently as they do, is why we're having so much fun doing it.
I was hoping there was a psychiatrist among the listeners.
I'm sure there is.
Or a dream analyst. Because I was telling you guys the other day, I have this recurring dream. I've had it quite
roll
often.
Tape, Kevin, just so you know.
No, it's one of those dreams where you're in like a public situation, and for whatever reason, you find yourself naked. And, you know, the latest occurrence of this was the other night. The dream was I was at this concert. We're standing around the stage. My wife was next to me. And, you know, the band's up there, and we're rocking to it. And I decided, I'm going to take my clothes off. And so I'm just standing there naked. But in the dream, you realize, oh, I'm naked. And I'm the only one. No one else did that. And then the other part of the dream is, okay, when do you put the clothes back on? It's like you don't – like, there's this not rush to put it on because you feel like I shouldn't rush to do it.
No, you should.
I should feel like, you know – this is what I meant to do, and it's just a weird dream. You never have those?
I have
where
never had
you
that.
You end up with no clothes somewhere?
Well, yes, and it's with a woman, and there's a reason.
No.
Different. Yeah. Not necessarily in public.
And I wake up having to change the sheets.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not talking about that. I just think it's just this embarrassment.
Now, did Nikki say anything?
At the,
like,
the dream? No.
What are you
no,
doing? No. You're embarrassing me?
No.
Was
no.
she embarrassed?
Like, see, that's the
do
thing.
I know you?
In this situation.
Security.
Nobody ever, like, says anything or makes fun of me, but I just realized.
That's how you know it's a dream. Because if he were naked in public, people would be making fun.
You know, I just realized that, you know, here I am. You know, and.
Here I am, world.
So I just wonder if anyone else or would have some type of
and
analysis.
This sparked all kinds of conversation among us about the dreams that we have that we have similar dreams. And I had mentioned I always dream about being way behind in schoolwork.
Right, but like you're not naked when you're behind.
But I'm not naked.
Yeah.
And Andy's talking about, you know, he's throwing a punch, but he feels like he's, like, underwater. Like, he can't get any power on the punch.
I think we all have those. We're trying to get
you can't
some
run.
Plays.
You know, the dream when you can't run. Everybody talks about that.
Right.
You're the only one that has any of these things happen while naked.
Yeah. Right. I just wonder if this
you're
is
a bizarre
that
man.
Happened to me back in the day where I did end up naked somewhere. I'm not sure. I
just took an ugly turn. Now he's being molested or something. Yeah.
No,
you took that turn. That's not what I was.
Did you have a visit to Penn State?
Thinking or talking about?
Yeah. Uncle Sandusky stopped by.
He'll just keep going.
If you don't stop it, it will keep going.
All right, let's get back to the phone calls. Nick Baby Love's on the line. Hey, Nick Baby Love, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? Happy holidays and all that good stuff.
You too, Nick.
You sent us some packages with some T-shirts and music. That was great. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Only reason it was sent because that stuff you can't buy, you know.
I could see that. You can't buy that stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I've hooked up some of the players, and, you know, it's my pleasure. You know, it's the least I could do. I get such an enjoyment, as you were talking about going into the new year, of listening. I just got off a plane. I'm telling you, I think I could play for the team. My grandchildren put me through a workout the last 10, 12 days.
Well, you can't keep up with the youngsters anymore?
No, I can't. Who's having twins, by the way?
That's Pat Nagawam, one of our listeners, having twins. And Mark the Beetle Bertrand actually had
just
twins.
Just had twins last Saturday.
He had A and B last week.
Oh, good. Well, hey, you know what? I mean, their package over there is collecting dust because James Stewart's on vacation, but they'll get it Monday. Mark, you got a nice package there from Baby Love.
All right.
Nice.
What do you think?
Nice,
I mean,
package,
you know,
bear.
I am there all the time. To show you how out of it I was, I tweeted that stuff, and hopefully everybody... Thank you, Tom Curran. I couldn't believe he recognized little me, Mr. Nobody in Miami, on Twitter. I was so out of it, I didn't even realize that Cincinnati beat Denver, and the game didn't mean that much. I was still mad. I didn't like the way they played. I don't know. What's the story?
Yeah, they didn't against the Bills?
Yeah,
didn't like
the finale.
Yeah.
They didn't play overly well.
Thanks, Nick.
But they also didn't take the game seriously. And, you know, Gronk doesn't play, and Edelman doesn't play, and two of your best offensive linemen don't play. The only question I have about that, and we've talked, is just you do that, and then Brady plays. It's just it's sort of a mixed message almost.
Yeah. I didn't like the way they played in the first half either. I have to admit it. But
it's irrelevant.
It is. It really is.
I don't worry
unless
about
they lose the opener, and then I'll tell you it was relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would see, even then I would tell you it wasn't because of the Buffalo game. It was because of the San Diego game, the Green Bay game, and the Jets game, and, you know, all the other games that they played sort of. Blah. Yeah.
That's what I heard. You know, Greg Bedard is a very good analyst on 98.5. He's very valuable to that station.
Five times more valuable than most.
That's what he talked about yesterday in his hit that he had, was how much it's not one game. It's the five. You know, the little secret is this offense hasn't been dominating for the last month or so. And can they flick that switch and get it back to domination? I don't know.
If they can't, unlike in the past, are you – more equipped to win anyway.
Yes.
And I would say the answer to that is yes.
27-20, you will win the AFC title game.
Oh, I mean, 27 isn't exactly a low total of points.
Piss at my parade.
Jeez, I mean, what are you, like, three points under your average there?
The Super Bowl, they'll win 17-13.
Well, that would be, to me, a story.
I'm not convinced of that yet. I'm only predicting the AFC title game.
That would be a story.
I'm not ready to go to
Super Bowl. Winning the AFC championship game 17-13 would be like, okay, they couldn't have done that the last 5 years. In my opinion, they could not have won a playoff game 17-13 the last 5 years. This year, I think they could.
Okay.
I think they could.
Eric's
not
here.
Saying they, I'm not saying they
Thanks.
Will.
Oh, Andy. We got to talk about it. Oh, my God.
What?
Paul, you will hate this as much as anybody. Peter King was on EEI when I was on yesterday. Guess
who
what
hasn't
he
been
did
on,
with?
Who hasn't been on EEI with you this week?
Whatever. Guess what he did with his MVP vote?
He split it.
Split in half.
J.J. Watt and Aaron Rodgers.
Poonani.
We finished the interview. I didn't attack him, and I actually told Dale
and
as soon as
you should have.
You should.
I would.
I never know with you. I call Mortensen a drunk, and you yell at me, don't call
have
a guy
to
a drunk.
Wait a minute.
Are you comparing
in
any way saying that you shouldn't be allowed to split an MVP vote with calling a guy a drunk?
Right.
Those two things are the same to you in your head?
Is that different?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I wanted to show respect because I think Dale is tight with him, and they seem to be.
All the more reason.
Should lose his voting privileges.
But yeah, he split his vote between the two, a half vote for each. That's embarrassing.
It is a cop-out.
Who's the.
Now. Him. Him.
I wanted Kevin to play the clip.
Why didn't you say
he's taking forever.
Who's the pussy now?
Right.
Like, that's embarrassing.
Make a pick.
Yeah,
oh,
I voted for
Obama and the other candidate.
Especially when.
That would be illegal.
But J.J. Watt is one of the reasons why it's.
Mayor Daley.
J.J. Watt is one of the reasons why it's interesting this year. It's hard this year.
Well, it's the main
reason.
So
he just takes the easy way out?
Right.
Well, but
cop out.
But it would be even. To me, it's even worse because he does it. It's not the first time.
Right. That's what is making it worse. Although it is bad.
Make up your mind.
You have a vote. Use your vote. Grow a pair and pick.
Yeah.
Plus,
or
it's
abstain.
Not,
I can't make a decision.
No, then you lose your vote, too.
It's not that
you can't abstain.
Yeah, make a pick.
It's a freaking MVP vote. He's right. It's not going to decide whether abortion is illegal or whatever. I mean, it's an MVP
You're
vote.
You're picking the MVP of a league, and I understand you want to take it seriously, and I believe me.
So
if
take
I,
it seriously.
If I were voting, I would do, unlike what we do on this show and we just sort of throw stuff out there, I would actually do research if I was voting, if I was one of the guys voting. Make a pick. You can't split a vote. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're talking about something that would happen once in a lifetime. I just can't pick between these two guys.
Right.
And he does it often.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there may be a case where I could talk myself, you know, if Brady and Manning had the same years they had, the record-breaking years, and it was, you know, 55, 54 touchdowns, 5,500 yards, the other guy
finished with the same
whatever.
Record, you know?
Okay, I'm really torn. They both, I can't do it. But this? Make it, I mean, and it's not even. It's
well, Mike Mayock has his more valuable player award. So
please tell me he does
several of them.
There are seven. Yeah.
There are more.
Well, no, it's his top five more valuable players, and he goes eight deep.
Yeah, it's just again, it's just not that important that you shouldn't be able that you're up at night. Oh my God, what am I going to do?
You know what? You hit the nail on the head there, Paul. I think. It isn't that important, but he thinks it is.
Right. That's my whole point. You know, he's
so important.
He's so pretentious that he thinks that he's actually doing something that's important.
Right.
You know? And again, you can take it seriously and understand what it is.
If
do you
I
know
get
what
this
mean?
Wrong,
it can be,
then
it can
I've
be important to you.
Lives,
right.
You know?
It can be important to you. Like, it's our job. We
Wait
cover
a
the
he's
Patriots.
He's worried about
it's
getting
important.
Stuff wrong. His votes are the least of the problems.
No.
It's the quotes he uses.
Yeah, his ability to actually transcribe what is on his
This would
report.
Have been good on the radio yesterday.
No,
this is a big check.
So now that, I mean, I've had my issues enough with that.
That would have been similar. If you had said something like that, that would have been similar to the Mortensen crack about, you know.
Eric,
what do you
got? Eric's here. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting day.
Cream color. A V-neck?
Tan. I'm going
tan.
Tan
cream,
tan. Taupe. I don't even know what taupe is.
No.
Dope.
So.
It's a V-neck. He's got the blue underneath. What do you think of that?
Is it a waffle?
He's got his TV
waffle,
jeans on, too.
Waffle undershirt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his cowboy boots.
Oh, he's got his cowboy boots on.
TV jeans and cowboy boots. You got TV
I'm sure fans are loving this instead of talking about
it. Funny thing is, I bet they are. Honestly, they do love it.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
How about you, cowboy?
Okay.
He's unloading his.
Wow, he's got all.
He's just getting it. Yeah.
Pretty soon you'll be banging that dolphin that goes.
Okay.
Play
what?
It, Kevin. Can you play the dolphin?
No,
you
know what?
He's pretending he doesn't know what he's talking. What I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
That.
That's Flipper.
And he plays it all like when we play the dolphins. He'll just randomly insert that into clips. What's the little part of it at the beginning?
SpongeBob.
It's a SpongeBob dolphin?
Well, the team was on the, let me make this clear for him, on the Gillette Stadium game field bowl.
Okay.
They were pooping?
For today's practice.
They were on the bowl?
Full pads, and it was a split squad scrimmage.
Ooh.
So a little intensity. Full pads,
little
pride at stake, some trash talk. It was like a Friday. The last couple of Fridays in the locker room have been sort of boisterous.
Yeah,
that's what today was like because we came in as soon as they were coming off the field, so we were seeing them just as they were, in the immediate afterglow of their scrimmage.
Any chance that because of the great work, fine work that he did today, he gives them tomorrow off?
I was thinking of that, but then some of the players were referencing, you know, we have another day of work or whatever. So,
okay.
But it looked initially to me, that's what I kind of thought was that maybe they did do so well that he said, what the heck with it.
Yeah.
Have a nice New
Who
Year's.
Won?
The white squad one, which, I mean, it's hard
the
to...
long squad.
No, they split it up sort of arbitrarily between blue and white. So
who was the quarterback, do you know?
So that they picked sides like Brady and Hightower, yeah, well, you know, chose sides?
I don't know how they chose them, but when we came out there...
How did Hightower get to be a captain? Be Brady and Wilfork.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, those are the long-standing...
Whatever.
But anyway, it was a ramped-up intensity to a practice that could have otherwise been just an every ordinary...
Yeah, a little competition.
It did, and that's what players were saying afterwards. It ramped up the competition to sort of simulate a game-type week.
Bill Belichick does that. It's ramping up the competition in a blah week. Rex Ryan does it. It's wearing down his team during a bye week. It's one of those things. Like, Bill will be a genius. They'll win the Super Bowl because they had a split-squad scrimmage during the bye week.
And
no doubt in my mind.
That's not the first time they've done that either. That's something they do almost every year when they have the opportunity to do that. When they have a playoff bye, they'll do that. So that was interesting.
Brandon Browner fight Chad O'Shea or anything?
No, Brandon Browner was in a great mood, actually, today. And spoke afterwards.
In a great mood all year, actually.
Except when everybody stepped on his clothes talking to McCourty.
Oh, we're all human.
Oh, he was
that
pissed.
That was a while back. Oh. Yeah.
He was pissed.
One little,
I missed that.
I would have been pissed, too.
One other interesting note.
Get your clothes off the floor.
Regarding Julian Edelman. Oh, I should say, Brandon LaFell was not seen out there, and we also didn't see Alan Branch today.
He's at Michigan celebrating the Harbaugh hire.
Possibly, yeah.
Doubtful.
No, doubtful is right. But when we were coming into the locker room, like I said, it was exactly when the players were coming off the field and coming in at the same time. And Edelman came in, was heading toward his locker, and had a red no-contact jersey on. Immediately saw us, did a 180, and went directly into the training room, but not before giving a ration to certain members of the staff. So I can only assume that he didn't want us to see that, but everybody saw it and was talking about it, tweeting about it, whatnot. So
interesting.
For what that's worth.
Okay.
Interesting. Red non-contact jersey. Mm. All
right. Now, and it should also be pointed out, too, that he does have the concussion, but he also has been dealing with the leg, quad, hip, thigh injury that he got when he first fell on the yard markers in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And then I think it was Green Bay. He took a shot and kind of went to the sideline and was kind of kicking his leg to try to, uncork it or whatever you want to call it. And
I would not have called it that.
So
he hurt.
He was hurt.
I was actually thinking the head might be sort of a hidden positive because it keeps him out, and the thigh, which wouldn't, he might have continued to play through and had to uncork it twice a game and do all that stuff, that it might be a positive that he missed time with the head. Unless, of course, the head is serious. Then it's not a positive.
But the fact that he's been at practice for the 2 weeks of games that he missed tells me that the head is probably... I mean, if it were that bad, he wouldn't even be able to practice.
Right, he's not in a dark room.
He's not like
watch TV, probably.
It's not like Mike Wright, who was not seen for months with his issues. So I guess that's good news for him in that regard. But
and the fact that it was a scrimmage... and there's actual contact would be a good reason to have a non-contact jersey. It's been ramped up from a practice.
Right.
They're in full pads.
Right.
So he is still on
and can at least take part in it, but not
but don't touch
absorb
him.
A hit.
But don't, right. Yeah, don't hit him.
Right.
So I think it's
Brandon Browner, no headshots.
Yeah. Or any shots, for that matter.
Right.
All right. Yes. Good stuff.
Freddie, can I ask you a totally unrelated question to any of the practice stuff?
Okay.
And I know that you had your consecutive game streak snapped. During the game... second half, Tim Wright took a big shot, 15-yard penalty. What did you think of that call?
I was in and out of consciousness. I from what I remember, I thought that it was – I wouldn't have
so
called
it. So was he
it.
After that hit.
I thought the first contact was with the shoulder, right?
It was, but I think it was a very similar play as the Browner one, and I would have called it. I think it was a penalty, and I was curious to see –
I felt the same
it.
Way, too. I would have called it live and then overturned it on replay.
Yeah.
But there's no replay, so you can't.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it
Maybe
was.
There will be after this year.
There will be.
I thought it was above the shoulder. It wasn't a head-to-head shot. It was a shoulder hit, but I thought the contact was
to the head area.
And they clean the language up. They didn't make the mistake.
They didn't say
like
helmet-to-helmet contact like they did for Browner, which was incorrect.
I thought
both calls were active. The only difference in the plays was Buffalo didn't catch the deflection and run it back.
Hamza's in Toronto. Happy New Year. This was my eighth year as a loyal PFW listener.
Thanks
for another great year of Giggling Andy, Snarky Paul, Angry Eric, and Naked Dreams Fred. Being a Patriots fan would be only half the fun without you guys, and that's the truth. This past Sunday,
you send that to Bill Belichick.
Yeah, this past Sunday was also proof that you guys are in the right roles. With Beetle out on the pre and post game, Paul had to host, and it was hilarious to listen to him try to be the host and be snarky at the same time. He would agree with the caller and then snap at him and then say sorry and then snap at him again. By the end of the show, he sounded truly exhausted. The lesson is Paul needs to snipe from a distance.
I know exactly the call he's talking about.
Paul needs to snipe from a distance, just like Andy needs to have someone to mock, and Eric needs to be poked until he gets postal and blocks everyone. Also realize how much I rely on curse words and such sage comments as, what was that? And, are you kidding? Which require you to already be watching the game to know what's going on. Never change, Fred.
But not necessarily even then. It actually makes it harder to watch the game. There are times that Eric, Andy, and I look at each other and say, what is he talking about? He's like up in arms about something, and we don't even know why. And we're there.
That's a good email.
Who was that?
Hamza.
I know exactly the call he's talking about. I started attacking him, and I was like, what am I attacking this guy for? I don't mean to attack you. And then I finished up by saying, but you're wrong.
Balarco's in Los Angeles. Hey, Balarco.
Hey, guys.
First, before you get going, you weren't offended the other day by Kevin, were you?
No.
When he told you, do not eat the poop. I will not eat the poop.
I have very, very thick skin. I don't get it. It's all in good fun.
It was. And it was actually one of the funnier things Kevin's ever brought up on this show.
I didn't even get offended when he played the Mexican music the first time.
See that? You should have gotten offended. You're not Mexican. You're not even close. You should play the idiot music when he talks.
I just thought it was funny that he effed up.
Yes, you're right.
Such
an idiot.
I just think that from now to the offseason, I'm going to become the... you know how Elridge is always talking about how we need to get wide receivers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to become the O-line version of Elridge. We need to get some O-line people. And I understand. I still believe in Gooch, but the thing is that Garnacchia, in my opinion, was such a good coach that he can, take guys from the practice squad and, make them into legitimate starters. Gooch, I think we need to give him better talent.
That might be fair, but you also might need to give Googe more time. If he's going to have a development program, he probably has to have some time to run a development program, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is his first year.
I just feel like from what I've heard is that next draft is filled with O-line talent. And I thought that you can get a guard anytime, like Paul used to say, but I'm starting to doubt that philosophy.
Well, it depends on who's around him, I think. If they're all young on the inside, it doesn't, that whole thing, you can always get a guard, doesn't work as well.
And there have been guards that have been taken high that have been busts. Who's the guy, Paul, who's the guy that went to Arizona, the can't-miss guard who's kind of missed in Arizona? Out of North Carolina? Maybe?
I'm going to need you to offer a little bit more information.
Okay, well, my point is...
recently?
Within the last 3 years. He was a can't-miss guard who went high in the draft, and I think he has missed in Arizona. But you got Cleveland, who took this Joe Bitonio or whatever his
Joe
name
Bitonio
is.
Joe is the guy who patterned his game after Logan Mankins at the combine.
And he was a Pro Bowl, by all accounts, a Pro Bowl caliber guard this year. You can find them in different areas, just like you got Stork in the fourth round. I'm sure you could find a starting caliber guard in the second or third round.
Yeah.
Bitonio was a second rounder.
But,
right?
Or you, Cooper?
Jonathan Cooper?
Is he a guard out of North Carolina?
I don't know.
Pretty sure he was.
Why does Ohio State ring a bell for that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I listen.
But yes, I agree. You need a guard.
I'm envisioning the Yarlads list.
You need a guard. You're going to lose, or you could lose Conley to free agency. He's going to be a free agent, whatever. Wendell, I still don't think is ideal to be a guard. Cannon.
Huh?
Isn't a guard. Klein has regressed in the development program. The Devy experiment didn't work. You probably could use a higher-end guard, a decent...
I actually wanted them to draft, Tua Filo, but I guess the Texans took him before
he
got a chance in the second round.
Yes, I thought he was
another guy that was on our radar.
I thought he was a definite possibility. But they might go get a veteran guard, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay.
That's the guy.
Like,
Jonathan Cooper, North Carolina.
It's just that when they pick the guard in the sixth, I'm like, happy, you know, I'm just like, ah, this is just a camp body, you know? Like, I had, like, I didn't feel like he was the guy. I just feel like maybe next time invest slightly more, even if it's free agency or a draft. Like, but you have to invest a little more with Googe because I guess he's new. Maybe you need to give him a little better talent.
Okay.
Sure, that's a possibility.
We're on board with that. Thanks, Bilarko.
Or maybe he needs to be able to sort of pick his guys to develop to whatever his kind of.
Well, how many years are you going to give him?
Who?
Googe.
Oh, more than one.
More than one?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, are we getting rid of Googe?
You just told me yesterday that nobody has any patience.
That was my
5-year plan.
That was my point. I'm asking you how long you give him because you were saying yesterday, oh, you can't give people 5 years. Well, how long do you give an O-line coach?
Oh, an O-line coach gets a little longer.
Than 5 years?
No, maybe.
What?
No,
maybe.
Okay. But he's not the head coach. It's,
no.
What he's doing should be at the, what does Harbaugh say, the pleasure of the head coach. That he should be doing it. It's like, did you see Jacksonville fired their offensive coordinator
yes.
because apparently he was putting too much on Bortles' plate that Gus Bradley didn't want on Bortles' plate?
Well, he wasn't listening to Gus Bradley.
Right.
They
so
had philosophical
if Googe is doing that, then he's
yeah.
out.
But
you
if Googe
get
is fired
doing what
doing
Bill
that,
tells him
right?
to do, then he stays and works it out.
I mean, you got to get fired if you're not doing what
Absolutely.
The head coach wants.
So that's more the philosophical difference. That's insubordination.
Right. That's why you should get rid of Eric.
All of
what
them,
did
I,
oh, where did that come from? Really?
That's true. I'd probably be the first to go.
The troll in Louisville, Kentucky. I usually email in ripping Andy and Paul trying to point out how wrong they are, but this is going to be a kinder, gentler email from the troll. I want to thank
that's
the three
bad.
Of you for your show. I got a new job in 2014, which has allowed me to discover your show, and I was immediately hooked. I truly love the three
what
of you.
What are you doing on any openings?
And what you bring
you
and like what that. You bring to the table. For 2 hours a day, 3 days a week, you guys help me escape into the Patriot Nation in a very unique way. Please don't take for granted, I think he means granted,
I think he
what you do,
does.
As I'm sure I'm not alone in my sentiment. To everyone listening, please don't drink and drive tonight. I lost my sister to some jackass that couldn't handle his liquor, decided to get behind the wheel, and I wouldn't want that experience for my worst enemy. And don't think it can't happen to me because it can. Thank you again, guys. May 2015 be your best yet. Individually and collectively, the three of you are great. Let's hope we're arguing about how nice or ugly the Patriots Super Bowl rings are. God bless you all.
You're an a-hole, Fred, because you read that and you emphasize.
Well, the
almost like you're reading a Mad Lib, you say, and the three of you.
Well, the last three I put it myself. I wanted to see if Andy would laugh.
Jonathan
you didn't
Cooper.
Think he would laugh?
Oh, yeah.
You should have heard yesterday. I don't think you were here when Paul said, and Rex got longer. And
I was
go,
here.
Because he's so
I know,
feet.
And you were laughing. And
yeah,
you,
okay.
yeah, we were all
was,
yelling at you.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
My lack of maturity is not amazing. It's reality.
Jonathan Cooper, 7th overall pick
and
2 years ago.
Struggling?
North Carolina. I don't know right, anything about his performance.
I thought he was struggling there.
He could be, but I wouldn't take a guard with a 7th pick. I don't care if he's, what's the guy's name? Hutchinson. From a few years ago, was one of the best guards ever. You know, DeCastro with Pittsburgh. He's been pretty good, I think, with Pittsburgh. 16th pick. I'm
pretty sure Hutchinson was a few more than a few years ago.
Oh, no, I'm saying he was a great guard. I still wouldn't have taken him in the first round, that high in the first round anyway. Maybe, you know, in the late 20s.
32.
Logan Mankins.
32.
Yeah.
Like Logan Mankins, 32 overall.
Yeah, now I still say that was a tackle that they
well, it was.
Moved to guard.
It doesn't matter. You got a guard.
No, and I'm fine with that late in the round. I don't want to take 7th overall pick in Jonathan Cooper, even if he's really good. I wouldn't want to take him that high.
John's in L.A. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Doing how are you?
Well, I'm great. I wanted to echo the sentiments of a lot of people, just call and say you guys really, like, I don't know if this is awesome or sad, but you tangibly make my life better.
Wow. Sad. There's no question. It's sad.
Exactly.
Although, where are you waiting tables these days?
What's that?
Where are you waiting tables these days?
Never waited tables, but that joke is always funny.
To me, it is.
I know. It's fantastic.
And that's the only one that matters in his giant head.
What are you doing? What do we got going on? What's in the hopper?
I'm developing, which means that you come up with show ideas and go out to L.A. and pitch them, and they say they like them, and then you don't buy them.
Do you ever have a show idea where a guy always ends up naked in public?
Be an HBO show.
Yeah, it would have to be for HBO, maybe Cinemax late.
Okay.
Friday After Dark.
Cinemax.
So you don't have any shows that we could be on soon?
I actually did think the other day, more revisiting an idea you guys threw out a long time ago, which is, why don't you just build a sitcom around, you know, an internet radio show?
Yes! It worked for Frasier, right? He was a radio guy, but this is way better with the four of us. The storylines are endless. Eric himself is a season.
Congratulations. You finally made it onto the show.
Yeah.
Actually,
he's at least a very special episode.
There is a kind of a reality show of that comedian who has a show about his podcast. I forget his name. It's on HBO or one of those.
It's not Bill Burr, is it?
No. It's he's a real like dark comedian.
The guy Cosby. On.
Not Louis C.K.
Oh.
Bill Cosby?
No.
Oh.
That works on a couple of levels.
Oh, he's a real dark comedian.
Unbelievable.
Wow, he's unbelievable.
I didn't say it, the Hollywood guy did.
It's not what he's talking about.
This other guy who went through a messy divorce and he started this podcast and he has these like really great guests from Hollywood on. Anyway, that show. But then you've had the show about a sitcom about a radio station, WKRP. So,
right, so it's this meets that. You always, by the way, I never
realized. You're talking about Adam Carolla, are you?
Pitching, they always want you to say it's this meets that. Here's meets MASH.
Right.
I think you could sell us. If you can do the, I mean, it's up to you to be creative in the storylines, but I think if you started with this as the basis to jump off from, you got gold.
We wouldn't have to be too creative. We have the storylines here for them.
It's true.
We have resource material online.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's like 15 years of it, right?
Yep.
We even have character changes where somebody goes away and we replace him with Eric and nobody, we don't even miss a beat.
Today's role will be played by.
I think it's gold.
Yeah, you
absolutely.
Would.
The role of the gambling sheriff will be played
now,
by.
If you base something on us, how much money do we make?
It depends how good your agents are.
What if I don't have
one? I think Fred will be representing you in the room, so.
Yeah, he won't make too much.
Oh, come on. I hear you raking people over the coals all the time on those conference calls.
Yeah.
Be like Kramer. I'll give you free internet.
Sold. If it's cable, I might be sold. It's expensive.
And $17 million.
Right. They were going to give us like $1 million per episode.
All right, John. Did you actually want to talk Patriots or anything today?
I have a quick point, which is that I think if we're going to trade up for anyone, I think it would be nice if for once we were just like, you know what? Let's make that Dimitroff trade and go up into the top five.
Amen, brother.
Get a receiver.
Oh, I wouldn't do okay. that.
For what?
For a receiver.
The kid from Alabama.
For Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I love him, but I wouldn't do that.
But I understand. Ordinarily, I wouldn't. I like the value and all that. But given the amount of time we have left with Brady, given what we didn't get out of things last year, I just sort of think, you know, two number ones and a three, and then in the second round take a guard and be done.
You know what's worse than failing to develop a second round receiver? Failing to develop a top five receiver.
Well, that's sort of what
that's the biggest
that's
reason why I wouldn't do the trade.
I'd be scared to death. Yeah, I mean, I know. See, I don't put him in this category, which is why I wouldn't do it. I don't think he's Calvin Johnson. I don't think he's an absolute can't miss prospect. I think he's an elite prospect, but I don't think he's absolutely can't miss. And I would be scared that they wouldn't develop him, and then you would have wasted all that instead of just wasting a second round pick.
All right, John. Thanks for the call. Happy New Year.
You too.
All right.
Thanks, John.
Terrence has the Mark Maron. Have you guys heard of Mark Maron?
Mark Maron.
Nope. You should check him out. He's very, very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
TBS.
So he's on HBO?
USA?
Very funny.
Well, I know he's got the pod. I don't know if it's Netflix or HBO or one of those types of subscription stations.
I always find it amazing what Fred does have time for.
It's amazing. He's watching Mark Maron on Netflix.
And I'm not making fun of you for doing it.
Feels like he is.
But you always make fun of me for having, you know, I have all this time to watch my nonsense.
Well, this is all.
You never have time for anything, but you have time for Mark Maron.
This is all after 11 o'clock. You know, it's like, what can, you know. Like last night I watched Family Guy at 11:30. Okay. I didn't know that was on at all.
That's time, you know. That time is included.
I guess it's not a waste of your time. If it's past a certain hour, it's no longer a waste of your time.
It's free time.
It's free time.
All right, let's take a break. We haven't gone for an hour and a half. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up 2015.
You going to do picks?
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson.
Was it a fight or were you being
No, what bored? Happens was, we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me too.
Which you couldn't call
today.
We
played.
And then the other group would play
it.
Football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then,
it's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw. You know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you just because he said it twice doesn't mean it's okay.
And I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have.
Possible
I did the same
school.
Thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he
names
did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We're wrapping up 2014.
Not 15, as you teased.
As opposed to 2015 that I said before the break.
We would make a lot of money if we could wrap up 2015 right now.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we go to Vegas right now.
Yep.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll save the last, you know, few minutes of the show because
no, I'm
going to
get under 200 bills.
We do have some games to pick this week, four games, so we'll do that at the end of the show.
Great weekend.
Yeah.
Well, I like it because we get the chance
not only
to just
great
sit
weekend,
back and watch.
Great day tomorrow.
Yes. College football playoffs.
College football games.
I'm very excited about that.
Patriots have at least one player who went to one of the four schools in the playoffs.
Okay.
Ohio State.
Sounds good.
Ebner.
I'll bet you there's some
Patrick Chung,
locker room bets
Brian
going
Stork,
on.
Patrick Chung and
Dante Hightower.
LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, man.
Oregon.
What?
Brian Stork did
Brian
something
Stork.
I didn't think is possible.
We should pick those games, too.
Oh, wait, no, I'm rooting for...
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'll root for Oregon, and then I'll root for...
I'd have to abstain.
Oh, yeah, I'd have to abstain.
I'd have
that
to abstain
one
in the other
I
one.
Couldn't, I couldn't... All right, I'll go with Ohio... Well, let's wait. Let's wait.
We're not start. Actually picking those games.
He said we might,
yeah,
right?
Said,
oh,
why
we are?
Not? Why
didn't...
not pick those games?
Okay, well, I don't have...
Is there a spread?
We'll just pick
we'll do it for
up.
Fun.
I'll get some numbers
just,
for you. I'm a numbers guy.
The hell with the spread.
Go ahead, get the numbers.
Because I'm going to want the numbers
the
that I need for Ohio State.
Get the numbers. Get the numbers.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
No
Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Same to you.
Thanks a million. You know, hope you guys had a great holiday for that matter as well. I had to say, best gift this year, Apple TV. I can now watch PFW TV on my 55-inch screen being here on the West Coast. Ain't no CSNN or whatever over here. So got to say it's awesome. Andy, your dome took up about 24 inches of that display, by the way. But fantastic show on that end. And any of you listeners outside of the region, you got to get an Apple TV so you can see these guys on your screen. But, you know, just a couple takes. I know you guys got to wrap up. The panic out there with some of your top pass station, you guys got to quit, man. We got 2 weeks to get this thing right. And, you know, for that matter, I don't want to hear anything about Seattle or anything otherwise. I want to hear about who the next opponent is and what we got to do to get ready. But right now, it's time to get ready for playoff action. And B, the caveat here to be is we got to be able to switch to some no huddle when it counts. If this offensive line can't cut it, We're going to have to change up tempo. I thought I'd throw that your way and see what you thought on that end. But it's time to get physical. It's time to get ready to kick some ass and reclaim the top of this NFL. Happy New Year to you all, and over and out.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Happy New Year to you. What do you think about that, you know, when you're having trouble protecting, changing tempo, you know, like going no huddle, up tempo? Do you think that would help? Do you think that is a solution?
You can try it, yeah. I think that's part of it. And I think, you know, we talked about that, what was that, 2 weeks ago when Brady was, I don't know why we don't do it more. I don't know. I think he'd like to do it. I think he likes to have sort of everything in his hands and at his disposal.
And the next two games are at home. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but when next you're at home, it's easier to go no huddle up tempo than it is on the road.
Sure. Yeah, I would have no problem with it. And, you know, I think everybody, we've talked in the past that sometimes the guys aren't ready. Last year, you Tompkins and guys out there.
Yep.
I think this offense is ready to go. I think Stork is ready. I think LaFell is ready.
I wonder if they'll even win the coin toss if they win it and say, give us the damn ball.
No.
Just to make a point and say.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you want to get going.
I'd be
offense.
Surprised if they did.
Yeah, that would be such an admission. And I just don't think he'd do that.
Because they really like to not score at the second quarter and then not score to open
the
third.
Wait a minute. An admission of what?
That's what they've been doing.
That we need to do this. You know, if he thought that deferring was the way to go all season, and then all of a sudden you get to the playoffs and we're going to change that, then there's something different here, and you're admitting that. And so,
oh,
you know.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I think it would be more. I just don't think he thinks that's the thing to do. I think he believes in the two possession potential of the end of the half. I think that once he settled into that, because I think he sort of waffled back and forth when the rule first changed. But I think once he settled into that, I think he's deferred every time that he's had the option.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much.
And has Mike Reese done the stats on how many times the Patriots win the toss? It's well in their favor.
Well, it's in the
it's in the release if someone has it.
It's in the front of the stats.
It's got to be 70% at least.
Yeah, I if someone had it, we don't have the release here. Yeah. But
and then they win anyway because even when they lose it, the other team takes the ball, so they get what
they want. Yeah, a lot of times the other team likes to take the ball. So even when they've lost the toss, they've ended up with the second half possession.
Are you claiming the coin toss is fixed?
No.
Well, how could something that's supposed to be 50-50 be 70-30?
It's a magnet in the coin.
Who says it's supposed to be 50-50?
I don't know. Isn't it always supposed to be 50-50? So you're flipping a coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but every time flip it, it's 50.
I feel like this. I just made a mistake.
I feel like I just opened up Pandora's box.
It's the three doors, right?
Oh, Christ.
Right.
Sorry in advance.
But isn't that true? Like, every time you flip
every
it,
time
it's 50-50. It doesn't mean it's going to come out heads 50 times and tails 50.
Right. But over the long term, it should, shouldn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
I thought that's how it worked.
Maybe. Certainly hasn't.
We're all just looking at each other.
Certainly hasn't this year, you know. Patriots have had it.
Yeah, no, that's a small sample.
I mean, if you do it five times, you could get heads five times.
Right. I think what the numbers guys would tell you, though, is if you flip a coin and it lands on heads, that doesn't make the next time it's flipped more often that it's going to be on tails. It's still 50-50 the second time you flip it.
Right, but I think over the long term, it's supposed to settle in at 50-50.
It could.
You know, if you do 10 million, it should be 5
you
million.
You went to Tufts, you tell
yeah,
us.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Oh, I thought it was accurate.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Should we decide how 2015 went? Is this the time?
Well, I don't know. I'm not happy with the fact that I got a new gig and then lost it 3 weeks later.
Fred said he ain't taking them back this time.
No.
Nope.
Just giving hand jobs on the highway.
John of Pennsylvania.
What is wrong with you?
I minored in dreamology when I was studying my rocket surgeon doctorate. Dreams of being in public without clothes is common. It simply means you're hiding something and you're afraid someone will find out. It's nothing to worry about unless it's occurring on a weekly basis. The chapter on dreaming about men with their sexual organ attached to a different part of their body, however, is cause for concern. I can't go in depth about it in this email, but to summarize, dude, you are seriously messed up. So
Fred is hiding something.
Good
hiding synopsis.
Something, and I'm afraid people are going
to
find
so
out.
So if someone were to, say, have that dream and then Google male penises on the internet a lot, what would you think he's hiding?
Jeremy Renner?
Who's Jeremy Renner?
Actor?
The actor. Hurt Locker and...
Never heard of Jeremy Renner.
What happened to him?
What's the town? The town. That's exactly the movie I was thinking of. That's the word. He just he was married to some lingerie model for 10 months. getting a divorce on the grounds of fraud. So a lot of people think that he
was that like the Kenny Chesney, Renee Zellweger
thing?
Not in a
gay way, of course.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
You don't remember that? Renee Zellweger married Kenny Chesney?
No, I know that. Yes, I know that.
The same sort of thing where she divorced him like 2 weeks later or whatever it was for fraud.
Is he?
Speaking of fraud, have you seen her face? She's a different person.
Yeah.
Speaking of fraud, you're the best when you get into those voices.
That's when the listeners are right and we need the cameras.
Yes, because they're going to fraud.
Those things, I know that people probably listen to us and say, why are they laughing? Say, it's not that funny.
Right.
You need to see the whole thing.
You need to see it, yeah.
I needed more food.
Why?
The donga needs
food. I only had a half a tuna.
Definitely,
you're back, huh?
Well, no.
You're fully healthy now.
You're feeling better.
I
you
need to
pack
right?
on
you
those
right.
10
yards.
You got a party lined up tonight?
I'm
you usually,
low fuel.
You're a party type guy. You in the suburbs. I'm sure you have
me in the suburbs.
Some fancy party lined up.
You know what kind of parties he has this time.
Key party.
Yep.
Are you not, seriously, you're not doing anything tonight?
Not really, no.
Because I definitely am not into going anywhere. It's amateur night.
Take my pants off.
But I like to get together and, you know, as you call them, I'll have a few Diet Millers tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to have the Elvis guy come over?
No, the Elvis guy will not be coming over.
But the Niners guy, is he coming over?
The Niners guy might come over.
Elvis guy not invited.
Elvis guy's a good guy, a little different. I can only handle the Elvis guy in small doses, and I would not want the Elvis guy's children running amok.
Oh, yeah, daughter?
Three of them.
Wow.
Elvis guy's a good guy, though.
Wait, is Elvis guy the guy who doesn't mow his backyard?
Yes.
Okay.
He's the guy that ran over his foot, chopped off a couple of toes.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that one.
And this is not a sitcom. I mean, come on.
I remember that one.
He's got a neighbor who doesn't mow the grass, and when he mows it, he cut his foot off.
Wait a minute. You're sort of burying the lead. I have a neighbor who's an Elvis impersonator.
Well, yes. Yeah.
That's what he does for a living.
You're right. I don't know if I'd buy it if we're on TV. It's just too much. There's too many stories there.
And then Niners guy is across the street. I haven't talked to him about the Harbaugh situation, so I don't know how. Maybe he'd like to know what he thinks of Josh McDaniels.
Yeah. All right. What happened?
Well,
I won.
Andy did win the week last week.
Did you?
He went 13-3. Eric went 11-5. Paul went 10-6. Fred went 9-7.
Wow, bad year for me.
With the spread, yes, you destroyed it in the last week.
Thank God.
Perfection, you destroyed. Wow. Andy and Paul tied ATS at 10-6. Eric went 8-8. Fred went 6-10.
Oof, you stink.
Wow. So Eric wins both. 177-78-1. Andy was second, 174-81-1. I was 164-91-1, and Fred was 157-98-1.
So I actually won the contest among the three members of the show.
Yes, you did. With the spread, however, Eric was 139-115-2. I was second, ATS. Which
so
is
among
really
the real
where
members.
The money is made.
That's true. That's
133-121-2. Andy was one game behind me, and we both tied this week, so I maintained my one game lead. 132-122-2. And Fred, you're 6-10 in week 17, knocked you below 500
damn
and ruined
it.
Our perfection.
Oh,
126-128-2.
Still, wow. we should have cashed in on that. That's like those are some good records. ATS.
You should have. You definitely should have.
Do you imagine if he put $100 in every game?
I don't know what that means. What would he have won?
He would have won some money.
Enough to leave?
Like I
don't know about that.
No?
I honestly don't know how you figure that out, like with the losses and the wins.
Yeah, because you lose 110 for every 100
right.
you win.
So what would he have done?
But you have also, you were 24 games over 500. That's pretty substantial.
So $2,400 without the VIG.
Right, so it's less than that.
Yeah.
With the what?
So you take 10% off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's like 2,200.
I was told there'd be no math. I brought it up simply, you know,
2,100
as a lark.
Change. You notice I used the word VIG.
Yeah, I didn't know what the hell you're talking about.
The VIG, the juice, the vigorish.
I still don't know what the hell you're talking about.
You have to put up more money than you make. It's 110 to make 100.
Okay.
It's how they win.
That's how the bookies beat you.
Because if he loses, I mean, he beats you and loses to him, he pays the 100 that way, but he keeps the 10 for other losses.
Correct.
It's the house money. Is this the last time I get to make the joke about the most success you've had with a spread in a decade?
Oh, this year.
Probably
you'll,
not.
You'll still laugh at yourself.
Probably not. Hell. My guess is that you'll continue to make that
but
joke.
But it's not going
to
come up anymore.
Well, we still have games to pick.
Oh, yeah. And now, for suddenly, we're adding college football to the mix. I don't know why.
Because well, it's playoffs.
Playoffs!
Okay.
Yeah,
it's fun.
I'm a little bit at a loss here because the NFL.com doesn't have the time, so I'll just wing it. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
That's the night game.
That's the night game on Saturday. Okay. Pittsburgh is favored by 3, Andy Hart.
Pittsburgh favored by 3 in Pittsburgh without potentially Le'Veon, however you say it, Bell.
Bell.
I know
Bell.
How to say Bell, but I've heard a lot of different pronunciations of Le'Veon, and like different whatevers. I'm worried about that if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I think he is a massive part of that offense. And I think that I'm going to go with Baltimore. Just going with Baltimore.
It's a tough pick.
If Bell were healthy, I'd be taking the Steelers. But I don't think they're good enough to lose one of their major players and just be okay.
I like the way you're thinking, Andy, because I think the Ravens are a tough out. Especially, it's tough to beat. Well, they won the first game, right, in the division series. They beat
Baltimore.
They beat Pittsburgh in the first week.
They
or
both
two.
Won at home.
Okay, so I mean, it's tough to beat a team twice, but
somebody's got to.
No, but it's tougher to do it on the road.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
If they tie,
I will go with Pittsburgh. I don't really like it, but I'll go with them just because they're at home.
It's tough.
Yeah, I think this is a real toss-up game. Could go either way. I'm going to take Baltimore, but just because I think they're a little bit better, but I don't feel great about it. On the road, Pittsburgh probably has an advantage. I'm going to take the Ravens, just with the Bell injury, I think.
I'm
going
to take Pittsburgh.
Freddie, just real quick, in one of my many radio appearances, we got into the discussion of the worst Super Bowl-winning head coach, because I think Tomlin should be in the running. And a lot of people think your guy, Mike Ditka, is the worst Super
He's
Bowl.
He's one. Barry Switzer's another.
That was
Barry Switzer
one.
Would be
no,
my,
yeah. That would definitely, yeah.
My,
I have trouble eliminating his success as a coach from the success as that coach in college versus.
No, that's only because he has bigger pockets than everybody else. Jesus.
Jesus.
Can you go back and watch the Bosworth thing again, please?
Arizona at Carolina.
Carolina by 5.5.
This is
that
Saturday
might be the first
this
game.
This is the early game on Saturday. Yeah. Okay. This is the ESPN game.
Yeah.
Espen, the
first time ever. They're talking about it all week.
Arizona at Carolina.
Arizona and Ryan Lindley.
I believe they're going to try. You don't have anything over there, huh?
Let me see.
I saw a lot of stuff about Drew Stanton. I don't know if he's going to be able to play.
Because as weird as that is, I think that's kind of important. Ryan Lindley, I don't give any chance of going to win this football game. Drew Stanton, I do, because I think their defense is really good and all that. That said, if I don't have assurances from Fred that Stanton is going to play, I'm going to err on the side of safety and take
you're
going to
take
know,
a losing
home
record
team.
Team.
They're at home, and the other team doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
It took him like 7 years to throw a touchdown.
I know.
They're listing Drew Stanton here.
As the starter?
As what?
As the quarterback for Arizona.
Yeah, I think they were going to try to give him a chance to play, but I don't know for sure.
Can I take Stanton and the Cardinals? And
no, you can't. You can't,
if
Peter
doesn't
King.
Play,
no,
I
you
think.
Can't. You can't split your pick.
Do you want me to write down?
No, I will take Carolina.
Okay, you can.
No, no.
If Stanton starts the game.
No.
I have no problem with that. Do you?
No, that's
if
fine.
Stanton
that's
starts
fine.
The game, he has Arizona. Yeah. I have no problem with that.
No, I'll just take Carolina.
It's not being a waffler.
No.
I'll just take
that's why they take games off the board, because they don't know who's going to win.
It's fine. Just give me Cam Newton.
So now he's just going to claim victory no matter what happens.
By the way, did you see what Cam Newton was wearing at his press conference? He was wearing this like purple blazer with yoga pants.
That's like
and
12
loafers.
Months old.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They were comparing it to what Belichick
I
wore
know.
Today.
I thought it was recent for
no,
Newton.
Long, long. A week, okay. Like first month of the season.
Okay.
I think Arizona still has a little something special going on with this season, and I don't think it's going to end this week. I don't trust Carolina, even though they have been playing well of late. And it's tough to pick a West Coast team coming east and vice versa, but I don't know. I have a feeling about Arizona. I'm going to go with them this week.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona too, even if it's Ryan Lindley. And the reason for that is I think that most of Carolina's success this last month has been Jonathan Stewart in that running game, and I don't see Arizona allowing that to control the game. I think the defense for Arizona is good enough to make Cam Newton beat them, and I'm not sure he'll be able to. Carolina's played better football, and we know that they're not a bad team. They went 12-4 last year. They had a ton of personnel turnover. Newton was hurt earlier in the year, and they got it together late. I think Arizona's a better team with or without Drew Stanton.
I'm with you. I take Arizona in this game with or without Drew Stanton. Cincinnati at Indianapolis.
Indy by 3.5.
Sunday at?
I believe this is the early game on Sunday.
Yes.
1 o'clock.
It is. You picked right that time.
I'm going to take.
You picked it real good.
Indy at home. I think they're just going to score more points. It's the Bengals.
Will they score four more points?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they may score significantly more. I think they may win by 10 to 14 points. I'm not going to ever pick the Bengals, Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton, Rode, anything. AJ Green's banged up, right? He's still dealing with that.
Oh, yeah. He's got a, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
Take
your
Bengals.
A concussion too.
Take your Bengals and stick them.
I'll have to agree. Until Cincinnati proves it in the postseason, I'll have to go with the other team, and that's Indy in this case.
Yeah, I think that's a wise pick. I'm going to take Cincinnati because I think they're playing a little bit better than Indianapolis is down the stretch, and I think that's a dangerous way to make your picks because I really don't think it matters. I think it's who plays better in the playoffs. It's hard to hitch your wagon to Cincinnati. It is. I just think they're a better team.
Especially at
some point, they're going to show that they're a better team. But I'll tell you, when these two teams met, Cincinnati absolutely got embarrassed by the Colts. It was 27-0. It was like 9 straight 3-and-outs for Cincinnati's offense. It was just utter domination. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think there's too much on Andrew Luck's plate. He has to do everything. It's like Peyton Manning with the Colts. They can't punt or they lose. And I think at some point Cincinnati is going to force a couple of mistakes and Cincinnati is going to win this game.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Indy. They're at home. Andy Dalton, I can't trust him. Can't trust him.
I agree. I don't have a lot of faith in Andy Dalton.
So I'll go with the Colts. And finally, Detroit at Dallas.
Dallas by 7 in the nightcap
on
Sunday.
The weekend finale. Detroit at Dallas.
There's a little bit.
What do we got for the number there, Paul?
7.
There's a little bit of me that's rooting for Ndamukong Suh to knock Tony Romo out of the game with a cheap shot so this whole controversy can continue. But I'm not going to predict that necessarily to happen, and I'm going to say the Lions go on the road. And even though Dallas would probably rather be on the road, I guess, since they went 8-0 on the road this season, I'm going to take Dallas to win this game and get the playoff monkey off their back, more so than Detroit getting the playoff monkey off their back. And I think that that offense will put some points up.
And I'll agree with that pick. I'll take Dallas both ways. I think they're the better team, and they're at home. I think they should win the game. For karma's sake, too, I also think Detroit. Sue, especially getting away with the suspension, something bad needs to happen to him, and that bad thing can be just their team losing, and that's what they deserve.
I agree that Dallas is a better team, and I am taking Dallas to win the game. They're at home. I do think they have more options offensively than just DeMarco Murray. I will take the points, however. I think that's a big spread, and I do think Detroit can slow down the running game and put it in Tony Romo's hands, and I think Dallas will still be able to win, but I don't think they'll blow them out.
Yeah, this is one of those games where I kind of just have a feeling Detroit's going to pull it out.
Oh, Fred,
Detroit,
going against the grain.
The Cowboys lose again.
Wow. That would be great.
That would not make me sad whatsoever.
That would be great.
Would you be intrigued by a Patriots-Cowboys Super Bowl? American
of course.
Battle?
God, of course.
Yeah. I'm just asking.
That'd be great.
Yeah, you know what? It should be the game for the star. Whoever wins the game gets the star. Because we have a star, too.
A little one, right.
What are we giving up? They lose their whole identity.
Right. They're now just
we
like
lose this thing
white,
that,
blue,
that Eric and Fred are the only two that are aware that we have one.
Oh, you picked up on that, huh?
And then the Browns get mad because now they're no longer the only team without a logo on their helmet because the Cowboys don't have a logo. I mean, you just created chaos in the National Football League.
No, but
the Steelers are half and half.
I would be immensely intrigued with that.
So it's one and a half teams.
Matchup. I think America.
Me too.
I
think it'd be great.
Because I think
Kraft, Jones,
Dallas is very much like the Patriots, even though they haven't had the success recently. They have an amazing following, but if you don't like the Cowboys, you hate them. Same thing with the Patriots. So
see, I think it's the other way around. The Patriots might be getting to be like the Cowboys.
No, but you'd have these two fan bases that are obviously entrenched, and then the rest of the country doesn't know who the hell they want to win. I think it would be really
neutral. People will be rooting like Paul. What'd you say about Ohio State and Alabama? You have to abstain.
I can't say on the
like
air.
They
right.
They can't root for anybody.
Wouldn't it be interesting?
Yeah, you have to see. That's interesting. I wonder who that would be an interesting poll leading up to that game.
Who would
the non fans?
I agree. I think that would be a tough one for neutral people to embrace.
Yeah.
Because I think Robert is the far more likable owner. I don't think Jerry Jones is likable.
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised?
That's a given. It's not even a doubt.
But I don't know the quarterbacks. I mean, that's interesting. I don't know.
All right, moving on to the New Year's Day semifinals that Fred wanted to do and then evidently washed his hands of. Oregon, Florida State, Oregon by 7.5.
Oregon by 7.5 over Florida State. A lot of people think Florida State is hitting its stride at the right time, and there's no controversy for Winston because you know he's finally got all these monkeys off his back and can just play football. I am rooting for Oregon's to just roll. I'm rooting for Marcus Mariota, who's sort of the boring, athletic Heisman Trophy winner as opposed to the rapist and everything else that Winston is. So I am going to go with my heart here and say Oregon wins big.
My question about this game, you know how they
big,
do
so you lay the points?
Yes. They do the set for the TV coverage, and they have the helmets and the little poinsettia plant, and they make it nice. And how do they pick which helmet for Oregon to use?
I don't know.
They've got a million of them.
Do they have, maybe do they know the one they're going to use and they use
maybe.
It? Or like Nike let
maybe.
Them know?
Because the one I saw the other day was like a hunter green one with the like a golden O, like one of their sort
See,
of. Like,
I like it when they just use Donald Duck. Anything that I love that.
Did you see the Louisville?
When they were black, but then they were red, and then they were black, and then they were like the light, the angle changed. It was like those cars you walk by.
I didn't see them as well.
Oh, yeah,
like a hologram.
I love the logo
as much as
I like that.
Yeah,
look.
I did see that.
Cool.
But the helmet itself, depending on the light or whatever, changed. It was black, but then it was red, like it weird sparkled.
Wow.
You know those cars you go by that have
metallic. All right, who's next?
I hate you.
I'll go with Oregon. I think they are. I think they're a better club, and I don't really don't trust Winston to come up that big.
I wouldn't trust Winston to do anything.
I'm rooting.
I'll babysit my kid, take my daughter to school. Anything.
Babysit my kid. My
wow.
God.
You know,
wouldn't
pick
let
up
anyone near my house.
Fingers for me. Fingers, claws,
crab legs. What are the crab legs?
Yeah. Fingers.
I'm rooting for Oregon in this game, no question about it. However, I'm going to pick FSU with the upset.
Ooh.
I think they're going to win the game Ooh. Outright and continue their annoyance of evidently the entire country who was tired.
Yeah,
of this
I'm with Paul. FSU
nonsense.
Wins this game. Jameis Winston, the most
29 in a row. How many
in college football?
What?
Yep.
Oh, stop.
Yep.
I think that's accurate.
I don't.
I don't know if he's going to be good,
right,
but I think
right.
he's the most pro-ready guy out of those guys.
All right.
If by pro-ready you mean ready to get arrested and put in jail, he's pro-ready.
Well, I think
he'll be good on playmakers.
That's the difference, Fred, is you and I can discuss
that's
football
true,
at a level that's a little bit different
that's
than
true.
Andy can.
Yep. What's the other game?
Alabama,
yeah.
Ohio
beneath,
State.
Beneath Andy.
Alabama, Ohio State. Alabama by 8.5.
Alabama by 8.5. Yeah, I guess I'm going to go with the favorite again. I don't hate either team or like either team. I'd be rooting for a good game. I just find it hard to believe that Ohio State is going to beat Alabama with their third quarterback. And I know nobody they were a big underdog to Wisconsin,
that's right.
and they're rolling
oh,
and
they
giving
were
up
like
and
a
Meyer.
2-point underdog to Wisconsin.
Oh, whatever. They were an underdog
and
to Wisconsin.
And John Rook thinks Wisconsin stinks.
And I don't see him doing it. I think Alabama's probably going to roll. Tied.
I see what you did there.
I didn't until the end.
I don't like either team. I've never really liked Ohio State, but I like Alabama even less for obvious reasons. But they are the better team, and I think they're going to roll double digits on Ohio State.
And you know this is the Rat Pack that Saban was talking about how he got friendly with Urban Meyer a couple years ago when they were both working TV for one of the networks for the title game.
Uh-huh.
And they really realized what a good person the other was and what brought them together was how hard they worked to reach success. And there's really one other person that they include in that group, and it's Bill Belichick. Yeah,
that's well they should.
Yeah, hate's a strong word.
but it seems so accurate.
But it's extremely accurate in this case. Not enough bad things can happen in these two programs. That said, I think Alabama is markedly better than Ohio State, and I think they will kill Ohio State.
And I think Oregon-Alabama will
I think
be
this has the potential to be a
final.
Three-score win. Yeah,
I'm picking Alabama to win, but I'm going to take those points. I think Ohio State has it in them to keep it close. All right, well, that's going to do it for 2014.
Woo!
We thank everyone for listening. Have a good new year tomorrow.
Safe.
No pregame social because there's no game. We have the bye. We will see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.